go.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, that was a new and different noise. I'm sure there'll be 15 or 16 or 27 hours sorted out. They're spent trying to sort out where that came from. Here's hoping there are no more Morse code deliveries during the remainder of the program. That little beep beep was kind of painful inside the cans, I kid you not. Hey, look, it's Friday on the front porch. It's the winter solstice. Hooray! Let the Yule celebrations begin. The winter solstice came our way about, 40 minutes ago. And henceforward, the days, they'll become colder here in the northern hemisphere, or at least parts of it. But they'll also become longer. And so now we begin counting the days toward the vernal equinox. Just like the ancients did. The winter solstice tells us when the days begin to get longer, and the vernal equinox tells us when spring has arrived. But yes, here it is, the 21st day of December, 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. And that is where you go if you would like to click on chat room and become part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that happens during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Did I do that part already? I don't know. It all runs together after a while. I myself am entering the chat room even as we speak. And hey, look, if you jump in, you'll be met by the likes of Anatole and Kid Mark and Little Thunder and Sailor Chick and Otto to Chat and Urban Prospector and Warrior Witch, and capably moderated by longtime and veteran, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has in fact chosen to fold space this evening and become Man Cave. You'll also be moderated by pinch-hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. It looks like things are already busy and rocking and rolling in there, and as noted previously this week, this looks to be, or is the first, it can't be a panic from a computer. I don't have any, that ain't it, Randy, because there's nothing that would have that, no warnings, no. But thanks. I mean, that makes sense. Maybe it is. The way things have been going lately, dead iPad, miraculously raised from the dead laptop. Yeah. So, that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this may be our first ever winter solstice on the front porch. Here in about 55 minutes or so, we will gather together. Sparky will flash the Bob signal off the clouds and scatter the breadcrumb trail so that folks can wander through these winter wonderland woods. Oh, the alliteration. And find our way to the old hollow tree that we rent from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table around which we gather on Fridays. And if you've never been to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in the old hollowed-out tree that we rent from the Keebler Elves, well, just send a contact request on Skype. Not to me, Bob Kincaid Horn, but to Sparky Dunk, S-P-A-R-K-Y-D-U-N-C, Sparky Dunk. And Sparky will then point you toward the breadcrumb trail and the aforementioned Bob signal shining off the clouds. Okay? Okay. And we have thanks to send out this evening. Deep and abiding thanks to our subscribers who knock down about a week's worth of the programming every month. Thank you very kindly is that David? I can't remember. Shadow Mountain Graphics, thank you. Because they PayPal changed my notifications, too, so... But thank you very kindly, and thanks to Joan in Tallahassee, for being a subscriber. Thank you, Joan. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. And as much as I despise talking about it, well, here we are. Here we are on the winter solstice, the last day of regulation fundraising for the month of December, which means the last day of regulation fundraising for the year of 2018. And we have $390 to make up to finish the week, finish the month, and finish the year. If that happens, well, goodness me, we will qualify for the Trash Fitz Walker Stand Challenge, courtesy of Ralph's, and we will also qualify for the Go Bucks Challenge, courtesy of Steve from New York. Thank you, both of you. Thank you very kindly. And then all of next week will be fundraising free radio, which I absolutely love. It's my favorite way to do. It's my favorite way to do radio, not having to talk about the struggle to keep this thing on the air. So there you have it. And there it is. And we're getting started. Thank you very kindly to Robert. Thank you, Robert, very much indeed. It ain't 390 anymore. We're down to 380. Thank you, Robert. Thank you so very much. Yeah, just update on life here in the hills. The stir crazy is beginning. I'm beginning to go stir crazy. All day long, I have sat and watched and waited eagerly, perhaps even with bated breath. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what bated breath is. But I've waited for the arrival of a package that left Knoxville, Tennessee, Tuesday before noon. We're talking, of course, about the new used wheel for the... for the vehicle. Mm-hmm. Supposed to be here yesterday. Wasn't here yesterday. Then the notification came. By end of business, Friday. Well, they weren't kidding. Oh, about 20, 25 minutes ago, the UPS showed up in the driveway with my wheel. To be fair, I had hoped that it would be arriving earlier, and I was going to limp over to the tire place, get it mounted, and get that godforsaken donut off of off the back of the car. So tomorrow is now apparently get up at 6, limp over there, be there by 7, and hopefully the tire is not chowdered from the brief amount of time that I spent rolling on it before I knew that it was flat. But the larger issue there is the stir crazy part, because that's one of those things that living in a rural area does that maybe folks who are nearer to more services and opportunities and what, or God knows, public transportation, Wouldn't really get. When you can't go anywhere and you live in the middle of not too terribly developed Appalachia, you are, in a word, screwed. We're all screwed, Bob. Yeah, Scott, we are. We are. So very. And so, I cannot tell you how eager I am to get the wheel replaced. And it's one of those moments I wish I was a praying man, because if I was a praying man, I'd be a praying that I don't have to replace the one tire, because that's going to mean replacing all four, because all-wheel drive. Or so everything I read says. Maybe it's all just a con, but given the fact that I can't afford a new drivetrain I'm gonna assume that they're not lying to me, and if you replace one, you got to replace them all. Something about tread depth and shit like that. I don't know. But anyway, that's tomorrow. Yeah. Yes, Steve from Georgistan. If you want in on Friday on the front porch, send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, SparkyDunc, one word, and Sparky will then show you the breadcrumb trail. So that's where we are. I mean, that's where I am.
It's been a rainy day in Mount Colby gone.
Wait, that sounds a little too much like Trump, doesn't it? Yeah, oh, well. And we're all just kind of sitting around waiting to see. Well, in fact, let's go over and check. What those wacky, zany members of the United States Senate are doing with the House's $5 billion for Donald Trump's Great Wall of Ignorance. What they're doing with that prospect. Let's check in. Do let's.
Just reached here that will allow us to negotiate a
Chris
good
Coons
faith
of Delaware speaking now
of the impending shutdown, the fiscal standoff between the White House, the House, and the Senate is exactly the kind of example I'd like to point to, where members listened to each other and worked out the kind of resolution that allows us to skip dozens of intervening test votes and move right to the resolution. This body has a critical role to play. And as my friend, my colleague from Tennessee pointed out, rule of law is at the very foundation of our constitutional republic. We are at a moment in our history where many question the stability of our commitment to rule of law. Nobody will play a more important role in reassuring our markets, our communities, our society, and the world that democracy, the deliberative, respectful resolution of disputes, not through violence, but through debate and through votes by the elected representatives of our people, is the best system for the governance of societies on earth. No better proof of that can be given than by this body conducting itself in the sort of disciplined, reasonable, appropriate way that the rules of the Senate allow for. Thus, I will not vote, and Madam President, I will suggest that your signature here also reinforces that you and many others here on a bipartisan basis will not vote to take the rash step of changing the rules of the Senate to turn us into the House and to remove the last bulwark, as my friend and colleague said, that ensures that we have the right to talk our head off whenever we might so choose. Thank you, Madam President, and I yield to my friend and colleague, the Senator from Alabama.
Madam President.
The senator from Alabama is recognized.
Thank you, Madam President.
Okay, it's Susan Collins, noted moderate of Maine.
In Delaware. And I will tell you, I wasn't here when that letter circulated. However, if you want to do an addendum, you have my permission to add my name to that letter, because it is that important. And I appreciate so much your comments, because, you know, Madam President, when I've been here almost a year now, and what I've seen is that it is often so easy in our polarized political climate that we have, that when issues that we have faced like today come up, people go to their corners. And it's the proverbial line in the sand, and everybody wants to talk at each other and not to each other. And so I appreciate very much Leader McConnell, Leader Schumer, the work with my colleagues, Senator Flake, Senator Corker, in trying to make sure a motion to proceed is simply a motion to proceed to talk, to have those dialogues so that we can go about the business of government as we leave here for the holidays at some point. And so I believe that what has happened here late this afternoon is an important step, and it's especially an important step going into the next Congress, to tell folks that are coming in and that those of us that are coming back that we want to make sure we were put here to get something done, not just retreat to our corners. So, Madam President, I want to thank everyone that was involved late this afternoon to try to make sure this agreement was reached. I am anxious for these our leaders to proceed so that we can...
Well, it'll be interesting to see how those how the Senate does proceed, because, of course, chinless Mitch McConnell is leading the parade. Okay, Brother Deacon Asa tells us, I done did the crack research. Last winter solstice on the front porch fell on Friday, December 21st, 2012. Now the next question, were we doing Friday on the front porch on December 21st, 2012? I simply do not remember. But all kidding aside, we heard a little bit of blather there on the floor of the Senate. And I wonder how, has anybody calculated, I haven't read any news stories that actually gave even an approximate number of how many people there are. Oh, is that noted centrist Joe Manchin? Why, yes, it was. he must have made a funny, because it looks like noted batshit crazy from Oklahoma, Jim Inhofe, is just a laughing away. No, that might not be Jim Inhofe. Anyway, has anybody calculated how many Americans who happen to work for the government are wondering when their next paycheck will arrive? Yeah, I don't know, Darlene. Darlene asks, so is Turtleneck trying to get rid of the 60-vote rule or filibuster so they can ram this bill through so Trump gets his wall? Would you be surprised, Darlene, if he did? Because I would not. Jesus Christ, the maggots would be unbearable. But, you know, beyond the fact that the wall is an act of sublime stupidity, the ignorance of the idea for which is borne out by the vast majority of people who built walls throughout human history, in both hemispheres, I might add, The idea persists among people who, probably don't have sense enough to come in out of the rain. And beyond not even having sense enough to come in out of the rain, would probably drown in the rain, just standing up with their little mouths wide open, going, rain! Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, you can see the Great Wall of China from space. What you cannot see is what a monumental waste of blood and treasure it was to build it. If someday I would dearly love to do this, if you travel to, say, the north of Merioldi, England, you can find the remnants of Hadrian's Wall. Still there. Didn't work either. Great Wall of China was compromised about the minute the damn thing got finished. Hey, buddy, come here. Yeah. Here's a pocket full of metal pellets that are of some trading value. What do you say you unlock the gate? Oh yeah, sure, boss. Berlin Wall? Anybody? How'd that work out for the Soviets?
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Right? Remember that? Sure. I can't tell you the number of archaeological sites there are, say, around Mississippian cultural tradition towns that had great big stockade fences around it. You know how we know there are great big stockade fences around it? Because of the Carboniferous charcoal remains in ancient post holes from where the great big palisade walls made of wood were burnt down. And then, of course, there's the prophecy that was made in ancient Greece at the time when, and this is particularly telling, at the time when all of the Greek city-states were facing off against a massively powerful Persian Achaemenid empire. And consulting the oracle at Delphos, the oracle informed them that the Greeks would be saved by their wooden walls. Sharp bunch, the Greeks. They took one look at the walls that ran from the Piraeus to Athens and said, "This ain't gonna stop no Persians." And then some wiseacre looked up and said, no. But what if the wooden walls the oracle is speaking of are the wooden walls of the triremes that we sail so proficiently around the Mediterranean? What if those are the wooden walls of which the oracle foretold? Ooh. And the other Greeks went, "Hey, that actually makes sense. A big, fixed wooden wall would be a stupid way to try to stop a thousands and thousands and thousands of Persians hell-bent on destroying everything we are and hope to be." But they haven't proven themselves to be the best of sailors. And so, lo and behold, there's maybe I've got my timeline a little bit wrong, but there then transpires the holding action at Marathon, from which we get the athletic event, the marathon, right down to the length of a marathon, because of the messenger who ran and then died delivering the message that the Greeks had been stopped at Marathon. I mean, that the Persians had been stopped at Marathon, that the Greeks had stopped the Persians. And so then, with their wooden-walled triremes and quadremes and quinquiremes, the Greeks took to the sea and seriously beat some Persian ass at the Battle of Salamis. Now, the Persians had done considerable damage by then, but it stopped the Persian invasion. And in the end, that's the kind of thinking we need to engage in when we think about these walls. The $5 billion that Julius Caesar wants to spend, if it makes them feel better, we won't call them a wall, we'll call them steel slats. In other words, a fence. That or a bed strong enough to hold up your adipose pendulous bulk there, Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. Steel slats. But if we took that $5 billion, maybe even a little bit more, and I would certainly support the expenditure. Most progressives and liberals probably would, too. And we spent it undoing all the harm that we've done for way over 100 years in Central America building economies that were not mono economies based on pineapples and bananas and tobacco, helping to build self-sustaining countries that aren't toppled by coups every 15 minutes, we might actually stem the flow of desperate migrants trying to get away from the murder zones that their entire home countries are. For instance, we have negative migrant flow from Mexico now. The vast majority of it is El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, because that is where the wreckage and the carnage is taking place, occasioned largely by the conduct of America's often vastly ignorant foreign policy in the region. Darlene says, but Bob, Trump is a builder, and the big fat man baby has to get his way while the rest of us pay. Which brings me to another notion. I was talking with a buddy of mine, an old Marine, earlier today. We share a common opinion of the Tangerine Tiberius. And we were talking about James Mattis. And I said, you know, 40-some-odd years ago, young Second Lieutenant Mattis, upon receiving his commission, took an oath not to the President of the United States, not even to the people of the United States, but rather to the Constitution of the United States, to protect the Constitution, which in turn, of course, protects the people, to protect the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Oh, wait a minute. We've got to check in with Arthur here. Stop telling us which historical and or cultural context we should use to think about the wall, Bob. Neoliberal establishment shill. Thank you, Arthur. Thank you so kindly. But he used a lot of pretty language in his resignation letter, and the effect and the import and the meaning of which doesn't seem to be lost on anyone, except perhaps the chlamydia Claudius. Because you kind of have to use little bitty short words so that they can get through the Adderall-induced haze in which he apparently lives on an almost 24/7, 365 basis. And so what I'm waiting for is a James Mattis, somebody who has seen the inner workings of the Trump regime, to simply state something that I believe to be undeniably true. That is that Donald J. Trump is a domestic threat to the Constitution of the United States. Or to put it more plainly, Donald J. Trump is a domestic enemy of the Constitution of the United States. Because that's where we are. Whether it's a matter of bailing out of Syria because a tin-pot pissant dictator in Turkey told him to. Oh, yes, sir, President Erdogan, I'll sure do that. Yes, definitely. Michael Flynn hasn't been sentenced yet. Don't worry, Your Highness. I'll pardon him. I will. You can count on me, sir. Because that's what happened. Erdogan told Trump on a phone call that they wanted the United States out of the way so they could go after the Kurds.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll do that right away, sir.
God, how humiliating and disgusting that is. But it's where we are. But maybe we should start talking in those terms. Donald J. Trump is a domestic enemy of the Constitution of the United States. God knows that anybody with even a passing familiarity with the art of crafting an argument could make a successful argument of that. Because it seems ever so apparent to me now. And one has to wonder what James Mattis will say on March 1st. Probably nothing, unless there's a publishing deal involved. Because at the end of the day, let's do remember, as Calvin Coolidge famously remarked, the business of America is business. Yeah, what's that, Scott? A successful wall? Scott in San Diego says, the only wall in history I can think of is Pink Floyd's The Wall. Well, I don't know. The ivy-covered wall at Wrigley Field, although that's technically termed a fence. And then the Green Monster at Fenway, well. That's been successful, depending on how one... Well, then again, a long time between World Series victories, wasn't it? Same for the Cubs. How about that? Maybe not. Son of a gun, the things you... Yeah, all you got to do is drill down, and the next thing you know, you're realizing that you were more right than you thought. And you're right about... you're right about Pink Floyd, but gosh, even with Pink Floyd's The Wall, how does it end? That's right. Tear down the wall, tear down the wall, tear down the wall. So even with that, the point was to get rid of the wall. They're doing a lot of standing around in the well of the Senate right now. Looks like noted moderate Susan Collins of Maine may be taking a nap. The caption right now is, Senate votes to proceed to temporary government funding bill. Government shutdown still likely to start at midnight. How many people aren't there anymore? Especially the people who got voted out of office. Fuck all y'all. Earlier today, the chlamydia Claudius declared that
they said we couldn't get it in the House. Nancy Pelosi said we couldn't get our wall funding in the House, the $5 billion, but we got it by a huge vote, a huge vote.
The only problem being that the margin of victory was roughly equivalent to the Freedom Caucus plus the members of the Republican House who ain't going to be on the government dole no more come January 3. That was a great big old fuck you to the American people from the Republicans who will be leaving office. Oh, hey, note coming in from Charlene. Druid Kincaid. Well, how nice. Thank you. Here's a $75 challenge and 75 more when it's met. Time to celebrate. Holly and Hawthorne. Signed, Aileen in Rogue Island, speaking for the sisterhood, the sorority of Leans. Well, thank you very kindly. And thanks for the promotion to Druid. I hope some Roman doesn't come up and burn down my sacred grove and skewer me. But a $75 challenge is on the table to get us toward the $380 that we need to raise this evening. So the challenge is for $75. If another $75 comes in, then Charlene of the sorority of Lean kicks in another $75. And so that would take us down to, oh, dear God, there's ciphering involved. That'd take us down to only $155 to go to finish the evening. So please don't leave the sorority of Lean's challenge on the table this evening. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you very kindly indeed on this here solstice evening. It's got to be driving Geezer Disgust Us a little bit crazy because, and look, even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then. That vile old monstrosity, Orrin Hatch, joined with Jeff Rubber-Tipped Arrows Flake for one last Parthian shot at Donald Trump. Earlier today, the Clementine Caligula demanded, not asked, not requested, demanded that the Senate change its rules so that his stupid border wall $5 billion couldn't be filibustered. A short time thereafter, Jeff Flake and Orrin Hatch joined together to say that they weren't having any of it. The tweet in question came in at 8:02 this morning.
Mitch, use the nuclear option and get it done. Our country is counting on you.
But they've only got 51 votes. And with Hatch and Flake saying, no thanks. Well, it looks like that's not going to happen. Flake said, again, by tweet, Jesus Christ, this is how democracy dies. Not in darkness, but on Twitter. Flake replied, the Senate filibuster is about the only mechanism left in Washington that brings the parties together. Deploying the nuclear option would blow that up. I will not vote to do it. And then, from Hatch's office, again, via Twitter, I've long said that eliminating the legislative filibuster would be a mistake. It's what's prevented our country for decades from sliding toward liberalism. What? Oh, Jesus, talk about getting it right for the wrong reasons. Son of a gun! I got to give a cowbell to Orrin for this one. Yeah. I've long said that eliminating the legislative filibuster would be a mistake. It's what's prevented our country for decades from sliding toward liberalism. It's inconvenient sometimes, but requiring compromise is in the interest of both parties in the long term. Blah, 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 blah. Well, so it doesn't look like that's going to happen, the nuclear option. And even John Cornhole of Texas, whom I hope will be replaced in 2020 by Beto O'Rourke, even he said the votes aren't there to do the bidding of Geezer Disgustus. Yeah. How about that? Even in the quietest moments, right? Oh, we have more speechifying on the floor of the Senate.
Issue among many others, and start by agreeing with him. That first and foremost, we should avoid a government shutdown. And that's exactly what this Senate did on a bipartisan basis just a few days ago. We passed an agreement. None of us loved it, but we all recognized it was a better alternative than shutting down the government.
This is Chris Van Hollen of Maryland.
Went over to the House, and we know what happened to it there. So I hope we will continue to work together to avoid a government shutdown. But the proposal that Senator Cardin and I are putting forward is very simple. Federal employees should not be punished by the shutdown. They have nothing to do with the dysfunction that would cause a government shutdown, and they should not be the ones who have to bear the burden and the penalty of something totally beyond their control, a government shutdown. And that's what this is about. As Senator Cardin indicated, often after shutdowns are over, the Congress and the White House do the right thing, and we provide retroactive compensation to federal employees. But it's not guaranteed. It always could be changed. It might not happen. And so what we're trying to do is make sure that as federal employees watch the spectacle up here on Capitol Hill, and they're thinking about joining their families for Christmas or other things over the holidays, that they don't have to have the uncertainty about if there's a government shutdown, whether or not they're going to get a paycheck to pay all the bills that will stack up over that period of time. Let's provide a confidence and certainty up front that federal employees don't have to pay the penalty.
Wow, doesn't that just make boatloads of sense? Which necessarily means that the Steve Daineses of the world and the John Kennedys of the world, the wrong John Kennedy, the one down in Louisiana, and the, who else? The Joni Ernsts and various and sundry, the Marco Rubio, the freaks, probably won't go along with it. And, of course, it'll be completely at odds with what the House did. And it would have to go back and be voted on by them. Ain't that just something? But I got to thinking about something else. Because I do that. You know, this is 3 hours of radio a night, but a lot goes into it before the mic gets hot. And a lot of it is really quite nerdy. But I was thinking about the 14th Amendment. Now, the 14th Amendment is one of the Civil War amendments. We've talked about it in context, for instance, with with Geezer Discustus's desire to eliminate so-called birthright citizenship, otherwise known as simply as citizenship, at the stroke of a pen. Well, it is concerned with issues that were really, really hot at the end of the Civil War. Section 4 of the 14th Amendment is no different. But just because it was concerned with issues at the time does not mean that it loses its applicability in the modern era. Thereby proving, by the way, that all that crap that Republicans like to talk about, especially members of the Federalist Society, about the original intent of the Constitution, and about how it can't possibly be no living document, is, in a word, bullshit. Because the Constitution remains applicable. Section 4 of the 14th Amendment remains applicable. I'm not saying this is how it is. I'm putting this out there for discussion. Section 4 reads, "The validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounties for services in suppressing insurrection or rebellion," it says including, but it does not say limited to. See, it says including. It doesn't say limited to debts incurred for payment of pensions and bounties. No, it says including. "Shall not be questioned." So what happens if we play English major with that sentence and we take out the Civil War language? It then reads, the validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law shall not be questioned. Single sentence. Remember how the National Ruble Association goons like Dana Lush and Greg Stinkfield and Coley and Colin Noir are constantly asking that question, what part of shall not be infringed do you not understand? Well, all right, Republican dickheads. What part of public debt shall not be questioned do you not understand? Because you see, every time these useless assholes go to shut down the government, they're actually violating Section 4 of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. The validity, because they're questioning the validity of the public debt. The reason we have public debt is so that we can continue to do things without having to constantly rely on somebody in the back room counting down to the last penny to make sure that we've got the money to do it. Public debt was a big reason that we were able to win the Civil War against the treasonous South, because we could incur debt, because the people with whom we incurred debt knew that we would pay it back. And so, with a whole bunch of debt at the end of the war, Section 4 found its way into the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. The validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law shall not be questioned. Well, every time when Donald Trump says, I'll take the shutdown, I'll take responsibility, I'll take the blame, that fucker's just questioned the validity of the public debt, which is, being as how it is a clear and obvious violation of Section 4 of the 14th Amendment, a violation of the Constitution. And when you violate the Constitution, you are not upholding the Constitution, which means he's violating his oath, which means he is impeachable. Which brings us to Section 5. The Congress shall have power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. Guess what appropriate legislation for violation of the Constitution by the President of the United States is? Guess, anybody. Why, yes, impeachment. And the legislation already exists within the Constitution. Now, we all know how I feel about impeachment. It does not seem to be a viable option at this point in time. Not because there's anything wrong with the charge, but because of the fact that we've got a bunch of Republican senators who care more about politics and more about their accession to power than they do, what? Yes, the United States of America, whose Constitution they swore to uphold. And now some of whom are violating by questioning the validity of the public debt, because that's what happens when you let a government shutdown take place. We, by extension, go belly up on the debt, on some notion that maybe we'll get around to honoring the Constitution's mandates a little bit later. Funny how that little bit of originalism never gets brought up at the Federalist Society's little clavern meetings, isn't it? A lot, yes. So just a little, you know, a little food for thought along the way. And hey, a big and good news thanks to send out. Thank you very kindly to Samson, who met the challenge of the sorority of Lean from our Holly and Hawthorne Lean in Rogues Island. Thank you, Samson. Thank you very kindly as well. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmahana Kwanzikus from the Urban Prospector Show on YouTube. Thank you to the Urban Prospector, often to be found in the Horn chat room. Thank you. And thank you very kindly to Happy Festivus, Bob, from Craig at Design by Ford Studio in Georgistan. Well, thank you, Craig, and thank you, Design by Ford Studio. Thank you very much indeed. So the challenge is met. And let's see. We are $115, I think. Not sure. $115 away from finishing the week, finishing the month, and finishing the year. Thank you very, very, very much. Hopefully we will knock out the rest of that, qualify for the Trash Fitz Walker Stand Challenge, qualify for the Go Bucks Challenge, and have a Jim Dandy, whopping good, enjoyable fundraising free radio week next week. So there we go. Let me type a message over here. And just a program reminder, something that Steve from Georgistan noted last week. Most of progressive radio, apparently, according to Steve, will be reruns next week. This program will not be. We'll be here Christmas Eve. Hell, maybe here Christmas night, if y'all want to do that. And certainly we'll be here the 26th and the 27th and the 28th. 29th and 30th are the weekend, and we'll be here New Year's Eve, too. I think. So I think we will not end the year on a whimper, but with a rousing continuation of the conversation for which this program has become not quite famous. Okay, well, thank you, Arnold, for letting me know. That's one program that's all reruns next week. And I suspect there will be a lot of others. But not this program. Mm-mm, no. So, we've got plenty to engage our wits with this evening. Before we go to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, let's check in with Bob Corker, making perhaps one of his last remarks in the Senate of the United States.
Alrighty, what this does, I think...
Jesus, he's going to be replaced by Marsha Gedneth Blackburn.
...that yields a result and does the best we can to keep from shutting down government, or if it does shut down, shutting down very briefly. So I want to thank the two leaders for agreeing to go forward in this manner. It allows us to move forward in a positive way, and yet it keeps negotiations alive. Only a bill can pass this chamber now that has all of their agreements, and I thank them for going forward in this manner.
Senator from Arizona.
I thank the two leaders for this agreement, and Senator from Tennessee, Senator from Alabama, Senator Jones, and others who have worked to ensure that the next vote that we have in this chamber will be on an agreement. As Senator Corker said, not a test vote, not a cloture vote.
Well, bless their little pea-picking hearts, they're trying. Mm-hmm. But, of course, there's still the wilding that's going on over in the House of Representatives. Okay, yeah, thanks, Arnold. Tom Hartman, Ring of Fire, and most others will also be in vacation mode next week, but not us. I just had a note from Robert in Morgantown. Robert said, hey, remember the 28th is the WVU bowl game. You might want that night off. Yeah, but see, the 28th is a Friday on the front porch, so I can't hardly do that. And we're playing Syracuse again. And what's more, we're playing Syracuse without two big-time senior starters, one of whom being our once upon a time before we completely gagged and choked and lost two games at the end of the season in which we only had to win one to get into the Big 12 championship. Will Grier decided that the bowl game that WVU is playing in is not important enough. It's not a big enough deal. It's not a big enough spotlight on Will Grier. So he's going to take a powder and not play in the game. You really, you know, I can't, because he's afraid, hey, and he's got it. He's got the scars to prove it. You can get seriously fucked up in a bowl game, and the next thing you know, your dreamed of multi-tens of hundreds of millions of dollars career in the NFL goes up in a, well, in a clod of dirt or a puff of dust. So it's highly unlikely the Mountaineers will win that game. And Syracuse will, of course, be the primed for it. It's an ancient rivalry. It's a cool rivalry. There's even a trophy involved that's not the weird bowl game, whatever name of it is, trophy. It's the Schwarzwalder Trophy, named for Ben Schwarzwalder. And it because the rivalry between West Virginia and Syracuse is ancient. And that part's kind of cool. We used to play Syracuse every year. We don't now because money. But seeing as how, I mean, I would think that, I mean, that's kind of demoralizing. Your starting quarterback says, you know, I transferred from Florida up here because I thought I had a good shot. But, well, you know, fuck all y'all. I got a career to worry about. And you, like I said, you can't blame him, but it sure doesn't want, make you want to strike up the band to play the fight song much, does it? All right, so here we are, an hour into the program. And making headway on finishing off fundraising. Note from Steve in Vermont. WTF, foreign policy. Our military in Syria was as a buffer between the Syrian Kurds and their annihilation. Too bad for the Kurds. Now the Turks can mow them down. It seems this is what Assad and Putin want to happen. Donald did the right thing, said Putin. I don't completely buy the argument that we're giving over our authority in the Middle East as a bad thing. If the UN were working, they could send in a buffer, but that won't happen. Our history of imperialism and intervention undermines our effectiveness in the region. No win. With the America First destabilization going full tilt, Israel will be more threatened by what's happening, surrounded by hostile actors, but they've been lowballing the expectations. This is how war starts. Signed, Steve, in Vermont. Yeah, it's going to go from bad to worse. For once, we actually managed to do a fairly credible job with our military intervention in this phase. We didn't dump 50,000 troops in there and have them doing the house-to-house stuff. We actually went in and taught a competent fighting force how to do it. I mean, this isn't like trying to make an Afghan army. The Kurds wanted to fight, and they fought like demons, which is why Turkey hates them. Because the Kurds, whether they be in Syria or Iraq or Turkey, would like to be their own country. The Kurds are the largest ethnic minority in the world that don't have their own country. And because Donald J. Trump is a domestic enemy of the Constitution of the United States, we are hanging them out to dry. Let's see. Note coming in from Ron in Raleigh. Been meaning to ask, what in the name of all that's holy is a Camping World Bowl? I remember when bowl games had names like Orange, Cotton, Sugar. Where in the world are these bizarre bowl names coming from? Well, wait a minute. You're down there where Camping World is now, Ron. I mean, I know what Camping World is a franchise of humongous lots of RVs. Because in pretty much white America, the term camping means spending $100,000 on a fitted-out bus that one then drives somewhere and hooks up to electricity and plumbing and pretends one doesn't have a home to go to. At one point in time, I thought Camping World would be a place maybe where you went to, like, buy a tent or something. But it looks like it's just, and I drove by, like, on the way down to Atlanta, I drove past a couple of them. Huge, 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 like Bart Kopp would have said. Vast acres upon acres of RVs and fifth wheels and pull behinds and pop ups and what have you. That's a Camping World. But yeah, Orange, Cotton, Sugar. Yeah. Rose. You left out the Rose, you East Coast elitist, you, Ron. That's where the camping, and the Camping World was something else, and before it was something else entirely different. But yeah, WVU is going to play Syracuse there. And it's not, you know, maybe it won't be completely shitty weather, but it's, you know, and it has an impact on the final rankings. But if the marquee players on my team don't want to show up, why should we? And I say that understanding why maybe you would take a powder on it. But the fact that he damn well would have played if it was the Sugar Bowl, that tells you something. So there you have it. A couple other emails before we jump to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. By the way, a reminder, if you absolutely, positively, no doubt about it, cannot use Skype, we have for you the stress line, 304-640-2829. Just paid that bill today. Or 844-843-4676. That's 844-THE-HORN. And that will get some lucky conversationalist into the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Going back to Bill in Allentown, subject line public debt. When they started deciding to create the debt limit, were they violating the Constitution? No, it's just that once you've incurred it, you can't challenge it. That's all. And every time you don't do your duty and keep the funding stream going, you're questioning the validity of the public debt. Scott says, Camping World? Glad to learn that Camping World is about RVs. I thought maybe it was some sort of tribute site involving the failed end times predictions of Harold Camping. Yes, 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 absolutely. Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. We regret the error. Ron in Raleigh says, remember, you have to remember I'm black. I don't know shit from Shinola about camping. Yeah, okay, point taken. I stand corrected. Subject line, Kurds and why, or way. Flavio says, the Kurds don't have a homeland because of the way the Western powers carved up the Middle East Ottoman Empire following World War I. That is precisely why. But, you know, the Turks committed the Armenian genocide, so why not maybe another one? It worked the first time. So, wait and see, right? Hey, look, we've got an asshole on Twitter. I'm waiting for Donald Trump to come out for closing the School of America so that progressives like Bob Kincaid can defend the School of the Americas. I've never defended the School of the Americas, not once. But this is a subtweet of somebody tweeting, liberal, Sessions is the KKK. Also liberal, Sessions is out. We must protest. Have I protested the firing of Sessions? No. Liberals, Mad Dog Madison, Trump will get us all killed. Also liberals, Mattis is gone. We're doomed. Haven't said either one, and whoever this real Ajamu Smith is a four-square idiot. But, you know, you'll have a lot of idiots on Twitter. Oh, well. Let's see here. Let's go ahead and go to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable and see what's going on. Hey, Sparky, you there? Is anybody there?
Bob?
Yep.
Yeah, we're here, Bob.
Yeah, I'm here. I had to turn off the rocket engine.
Okay, I saw that message a little bit ago. I thought maybe you were still muted from the rocket engine.
No, I said a 10-minute delay, so there's your delay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the best I'm good for is a
10-second delay, rather.
Yeah, the most I'm good for is a
60-second
delay.
That's the shortest 10 minutes I've ever experienced.
Yeah. Well, we've got a.
Did I ever tell you I grew up camping?
Well, I don't think specifically, but I know that I know that y'all were out and your dad was big into panning for gold and stuff. So I figured that probably did involve some camping.
We didn't pan for gold; we dredged for gold.
Okay, it's just a bigger pan.
No, it ain't a pan; it's a sluice box.
Oh, okay.
With a Volkswagen engine on it and an 8-inch suction hose. Or no, 10-inch, restricted to 8-inch because of fishing game.
Well, that probably explains why he was sort of successful at it.
Not sort of, kind of, maybe.
Had a hell of a good time doing it, though, right?
Yeah, we got to live on a bunch of rivers in California.
Tents, not $80,000 RVs, I trust.
No, I had a tent at the last claim we had. My dad had took the cabin. I had a tent.
Thanks, Dad. How old were you?
When I did that, I was in unemployed 1981. So I was about 30-something.
Wow.
No, in 1981, I'd be 30-something. I'd be 30.
Okay. Nice when we got good round numbers there.
Mm-hmm. And we got a camping world just up the freeway here.
It's huge, right?
Yeah, it's pretty big. It's right off I-5. Can't miss it.
I mean, one of these days I'm going to stop and just wander around one because all those, you know, there's something that speaks to something in my genetics that speaks to. I don't know what it is.
And then get some kind of trailer salesman, RV salesman. How can I help you today? First, what are you going to pull it with?
Yeah, you want a substantial sort of pick-em-up truck or something to tow one of those things, don't you?
Yeah, my son has a 2500 Dodge diesel.
Yeah, I was thinking you wouldn't want to do that with like a Subaru.
So, unless you're going to buy one you can drive, and then that's a lot of money.
Well, yeah, a lot of money. They get about, what, 9 gallons to the mile? Something
like that.
Yeah, something on the order of an Abrams tank.
Yeah, my sister and brother-in-law are selling theirs. They live in Arizona. They drove back and forth to Alaska a couple times with it. I don't know how much money they spent to get there and back.
And as big as they are and as heavy as they are, they try to make them as light as they can out of space-age fibers and so forth. It was many years ago, but I actually saw one catch fire and burn on the side of the Bluegrass Parkway in Kentucky. Them things go up fast. The people driving it had pulled over to the side of the road. Everybody bailed out, ran away, and it was just like, poof, it was like flash paper. Of course, I guess you can expect that of a lot of fiberglass and glue and so forth.
Yeah. Okay, I got to add a new guy.
Oh, yeah, I got a new guy to add?
Tim Smith.
Oh, yeah, Tim, sure. Not really new. He's been here before.
Oh, well, new to me. He had to send me a contact request.
Perhaps in his alter ego. So is it a nice day in the man cave today?
Well, it is when I turn on the rocket engine.
Ah.
otherwise, it's starting to get a little nippy. I mean, it's getting towards that time it starts getting dark. When the sun goes down, it gets cold in here.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, the way my luck runs, this is just delightful. It has rained all day yesterday and all day today. And at 11 o'clock this evening, it is going to change to snow. And it's going to be snow all night. And so when I get up at 6 in the morning to toddle on my donut spare over to the tire place, I may have to do it through snow on the road. And what a lot of fun that's not going to be on that crappy little tire. And then I guess it keeps snowing pretty much. It gets cloudy by about 11, and then, the high tomorrow is 37 and the low 29. Maybe, just maybe, against all odds, it won't stick. But God Almighty, everything here squishes. The waters, I live on fairly high ground, and things generally run off of this place, but everything's so saturated that. I mean, the water's standing an inch deep in flat parts of the yard here.
Well, we had a storm like that last weekend, Sunday night. Couldn't get out to the man cave. It was like a water an inch deep all the way around it. Unless you wanted to get your feet wet.
Yeah.
Soaked in real quick to add to that aquifer, hopefully. Because I need the water.
Oh, without a doubt. Meanwhile, for us, it probably just sinks in and goes down into some abandoned coal mine somewhere and is turned into toxic waste.
And it comes out somewhere.
Well, that once it's good and toxic, sure. That's the key to the whole coal industry, being toxic and getting away with it.
Doesn't that shit just come bubbling out of the ground in some places?
Not
where an old coal mine would be and it'd fill up with water.
Oh, no, it doesn't bubble. It flows. I mean, I could take you to any number of places where there's just water pouring out of a hole in the side of the hill. And it's orange. And toxic. Well, we've got a really good group in here this evening. Let's run around and check in with people. Let me run to Billable Rick first of all, because I think he's got a challenge to put on, don't you, Rick?
Yeah. Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody.
Hey, I got to ask you, how did the Kaneka handoff go?
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Saw Tracy for the first time in,
we thought it was 2 years, but there was one other time we had seen each other more recently. No, it went fine. Yeah, I just dropped it off at her house on the way to my Monday night pool match.
She gave you the secret password signal, and you gave her the proper response, and then you exchanged the sausage, right?
Yeah. We did it in a decent way, let's just say.
Yes.
Yeah. It was actually Tuesday night, yeah.
I don't dash out. I'm thinking about my own subjectivity.
Oh, that's good. What was that from?
I don't know. That was Otto de Schott.
I'm sorry.
Cosmic Flash.
Didn't mean to interrupt. I have a very sensitive phone.
Sensitive phone for a sensitive guy.
They're very sensitive. I'm so sensitive I can't look at the sun directly.
Yeah, too sensitive. One of my favorite Bugs Bunny lines.
I'm trying to find the right voice for me when I call Bob, and I'm thinking of like a kind of a pretentious.
Like a William F. Buckley type, you know, talking with your teeth clenched. Yes.
I like that. My folks used to make fun of Maryland accents. They kind of like talk like this. Everything's top drawer. It's kind of like Tulalu the Bankhead on the phone. Oh my God, your room looks like a dump.
Dump.
Yeah, you know, it's like everybody. That was my problem when I lived back east, like New York. I was in New York City for 2 years, and I just got really tired of these like really pretentious people with a lot of money. So.
By the way, we've got
a Thurston Howell accent as well.
What's that?
A Thurston Howell accent?
A good one. That's Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, Jim Backus.
Yeah, right.
That was good. But I always like the Eddie Arnold Green Acres. But what was that thing about Trump doing his Green Acres thing?
God, that was ridiculous.
That's how he announced the upcoming signing of the Farm Bill, by playing a clip of him singing the Green Acres song with Megan Mullally, who, by the way, responded to that by tweeting, "I'll just be down here hiding in this hole if y'all need me."
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Oh, man. But that was a funny comedy show. I watched that all the time as a kid.
All those Paul Henning comedies had a sort of an absurdist side to them that have not been much matched since. And they really outdid themselves with Green Acres.
Oh yeah, they did. Yeah. But I loved Mr. Haney because he'd sell him all this crap that was worthless. And then the other guy that I really liked was it was Arnold the Pig. The owners who owned them, they were like these monotone people that barely said a word.
The Zipples.
But I mean, the only problem when you do a show like that, you're kind of poking fun at the normal people out in the outback. So in a way, it was
that conversation has actually kind of been had along the way. It wasn't poking fun at rural America. It was actually poking fun at the people who thought rural America were a bunch of idiots.
Right.
Because if whether it's Andy Griffith or the Beverly Hillbillies or Green Acres, it's the folks out in the sticks who usually get the better of the people who think that they're so highfalutin. For instance, one that comes to mind, there was an episode of the Beverly Hillbillies where Jethro wanted to learn to play the fiddle. And so Miss Jane, at the behest of Mr. Drysdale, went out and found a concert violinist to teach him.
Oh no. I can see where this is.
Who was played, I think, by the great comedic actor, well, great actor in general, Victor Buono. If you recall his illustrious career. Well, then they brought in a real fiddle player from the Grand Ole Opry, and I forget who it was, and it became this comedic exchange about how the guy from the Grand Ole Opry couldn't possibly play on a par with the genius of a virtuoso maestro violinist from the symphony orchestra. And so, as it ended, the Opry violinist said, "Yeah, well, do you get paid $100,000 a year for doing what you do? 'Cause that's what I get paid." At which point, the highfalutin concert violinist takes the straw hat off the Opry guy's head, puts it on his own, sticks the fiddle down against his arm again instead of against his chin, and says, "How you play that again, cousin?"
There you go.
This is Irwin. Say, on Green Acres, the county agent, I don't remember his name.
Kimball, Hank Kimball. No, that can't be Kimball, Hank Kimball. Yeah, that would make me Hank Kimball, Kimball.
Yeah.
I was in agriculture and I knew county agents, so that was kind of funny to me, you know.
Well, and by the way, Green Acres, it wasn't just Arnold the Pig. There was also Eleanor the Cow.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about Eleanor the Cow.
Huh. Yeah, and he came to the Douglases by way of Mr. Haney too. Well, you sure you don't want to buy her, Mr. Douglas? She keeps a coming over here because I think she's a pining for the bull in the pasture next door, or some such shit as that.
That actor's name is Pat Buttram now.
Yes, from either Haleyville or Hackleburg, Alabama.
Yep, I thought it was Wayne Buttram, but it could not.
No, it's
right.
Pat.
It is Pat. Pat is just like Buttram.
You know, he reminds me of a Ted Cruz in a way. It's this kind of flim-flam.
That's
man,
a shitty know? Thing to say about a great actor like Pat Buttram.
you know he caught shit talks, in school. Man. With that name, you know he caught hell in school.
You have no idea how many Buttrams there are down there. Weren't nobody giving none of them shit because, well, that's about all there was.
It would be like me being named Steve Snatchlicker or something, you know. And I'm glad this show was R-rated.
You know, I grew up with some Snatchlickers.
Oh, God.
And they were none to trifle with because they would fight you at the drop of a hat.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Rick.
Let me put forth my challenge here so that it can be met, okay? Mm. I'll call it the how's the fundraising going today?
We got something like 115 to go.
No problem. Okay. Well, this is a surprise Christmas bonus challenge. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to pledge 25. Once it's matched, it'll double to 50. So that'll take you at 75 down against your amount to be raised.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, thank you, Billable Rick. Thank you very, very kindly indeed.
You bet. And can I give an update on my pool experiences lately?
Oh, do please.
Yeah, I'm actually, I think, the only player in the Foothill League who's made it to the Tournament of Champions on both an 8-ball team and a 9-ball team in the same season. So I'm playing up in Moore Park on the 12th and 13th of January, so Saturday and Sunday.
Is it going to mess with you? Is it going to mess with you to shoot on a level table?
No, I don't think so. No. It. You know, the weird thing is, nah, it'll be fine. But you know, the weird thing is, the 8-ball team. We finished the regular season in our league. There's like 9 teams. We placed 8th, and only 4 teams get to go to the playoffs. The top 3 finishing teams, and then you get a wild card. So the wild card can be drawn from anyone. Any of the other teams that are below the top 3, and we actually got chosen for the wild card, and we won our first match in just four games. Okay, only 4 out of 5 players had to play. We beat the top ranked team at their place, and then went to the American Legion on this past Monday, and beat the next highest team that we had to go.
Well, damn, y'all are just a juggernaut.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, but it was tight because I won my match, the 4th match, for the team to go up 7-4, and we needed to at least win one more rack in order to,
Hey, none of that talk, it's a family program.
Yeah, and I realize that. And so we actually had to call a cabbie on our team who was working that night, and we said, get the hell over here, George, we need you. So he dropped what he was doing and, you know, raced over, and he
kicked his fare out the side of the car. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. So he lost his first rack, and then he won his second rack barely. And so that qualified the 8-ball team. And the 9-ball team, we were in first place all year until the last 2 weeks. We lost the last two matches of the year to lose and lose our automatic bye to the tournament. So we had to fight our way through the tournament, and we won both of our matches to advance to the tournament of champions. So that'll be that'll be a good time. But the ironic thing about the 8-ball team is the team is in the process of kind of imploding, not because of personality disputes, but because of people's work schedules. Our team captain just got a job at Target, and she has to work till like 12:30 at night a lot of nights. And so she may not be able to play. The cab driver may not be able to play. Another one of our players buys and sells pool tables, as well as reconditions it, puts the felt on it, puts the rails on it, things of that nature. And he refuses to play at this one place called Up the Hill, which is where about a third of our matches are played, like when we're a visiting team. And so
where'd you go?
So it can't really depend on him. So I'm trying to be a captain to recruit new players for the team. So if there's anybody out there listening, you know, we could use some twos and threes, some lower level players for the team.
In the greater Los Angeles area, of course.
Right, right. Greater Los Angeles area, exactly. Preferably North. So that's the deal with the pool. So it's been a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to this coming year for that.
Well, that sounds good. Luck to you. So when do you play again?
The funny thing is the regular season starts before the Tournament of Champions. We next play, I think, the first week of January. Each of our teams, the Monday Night Madness is the 8-ball team, and the Troublemakers is our 9-ball team. And then after the first 2 weeks of the regular season, then they have the Tournament of Champions up in a real nice joint in Moore Park, a pool place up there. It'll be interesting. We have really good teams, and there's about $1,400 at stake if we can win like our first round in the Tournament of Champions. So it'd be nice to have a little extra cash. So I'll throw some more your way if we should win, Bob.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you very kindly. And I have some good news, Billable Rick. Thank you very kindly to Dave in Tallabandiana with a message. Happy you Merry Christmas and a glorious Festivus to the one place where your airing of grievances goes on your round. Enjoy. Signed, Dave in Tallabandiana. And Elizabeth, thank you, Elizabeth, for jumping in. So your challenge has been met, Billable Rick, and then some.
Okay.
I think we're getting very close. To being, in a word, done.
Which, for some cipher in there.
Which is a big deal because if I have to buy new tires, this is the only way I'm going to be able to buy them, and I can't take much more of this stir crazy. Four tires, four people. Each one of us will give somebody else a tire.
That sounds like a good Christmas gift, Bob.
That's right up there with the gift of the Magi.
Or a vacuum cleaner. Women always love that as gifts for Christmas.
Not my wife, Rick. No, buddy.
Yeah, that or a washing machine. Yeah,
Karen. That really endears the lady to you, you know.
Hey, I just heard John Britovo. John, I got something to tell you. I don't know if you're aware of this, but this week,
nope.
And it's a
I'm
it's
not aware of it.
Okay, well, it's been a tradition here for a number of years. Our dear friend Paul from Parts Unknown makes these holiday snacks called Paulmans. And what he does is this is I'm not kidding. I mean, you're talking about a labor of love and painstaking, meticulous work. He hand peels almonds. I'm talking about after they're out of the shell, mind you.
Right.
He hand peels almonds, and then he tosses them lightly in sea salt and extra virgin olive oil and roasts them.
Oh, man.
And
I bet that is a treat.
It is a treat, and this year he said he especially wants to get a tin of them to you.
Oh, no shit?
No shit.
Well, oh, man. He's a nice guy.
Oh, Paul's a fantastic guy.
Hey, Paul, I appreciate it, buddy.
And so, off air or, you know, over on Messenger or something, send me, right. Please send me your mailing address so that I can provide it to Paul.
Not a problem.
And
I can't talk and write at the same time, so
I said, no, I understand.
I'll make sure you get it.
I stand good. I personally guarantee these things. They are the most simple, addictive snacks you've ever munched on. This has potato chips beat by a damn mile.
That's dangerous. See,
and
you know the danger there is because eventually you run out. And I don't know about you, but I'm that kind of guy that I'm going to save the last little tiny bit of whatever that good shit is because I don't want to lose that taste. I'll come back to it later.
The good news is there's 2 pounds of them.
Oh, hell. Well.
And so you can, I mean, if you've ever sat at the bar and just munched on.
FedEx them overnight, Bob?
Yeah, no kidding. if you've ever sat at the bar and just munched on cocktail peanuts while you're drinking your beer.
I have been known to do that.
Or if you've ever dumped a package of salted peanuts in a bottle of Coca-Cola. It's a southern thing.
Oh, yeah, baby, we're there.
These things are miles past that.
Man.
And so
I'll
when
you,
you
what.
And when so you, when you send me when you send me your address, I will pass it on to Paul and by New Year's you should have your tin of Paulmans and Paul is anxious to hear your review on your program.
I have been lucky enough. Some people have sent me. I've had homemade jerky. I've had homemade candy sent. Just like you said, you can tell when somebody does something, and it's like you said, a labor of love. It's something they enjoy doing, and it comes through. And whatever it is, whether it's in cooking or craft or whatever like that, you can tell that somebody took a whole lot of care in producing that. So yeah, I'll look forward to that, buddy. Who wouldn't? I get to eat it.
And I got a fruit cake in the mail the other day from a dear friend. And holy wow.
Wow. See, that's just, I know I shouldn't say that. I know I have a box of cookies coming because this Blue Dot family member, her name is Donna Bonacosi, Tamara. Anyway, she sent me a little message. All it said was, John, have a box coming for you. Be out, way on the lookout. And, oh, well, thank you very much. I'll look for that. Well, I'm flipping through Facebook there, and there she is with her and her sister, and they are baking up these cookies like you wouldn't believe.
Ooh-wee.
Different kinds of cookies. I mean, a whole bunch of different kinds of cookies, and they're making baskets for friends and family and whatnot of all these homemade goodies. And, I mean, they look good, so I'm just thinking to myself, I know what I'm getting. Where's that box? Because them cookies look good.
Yep.
I have a feeling there's a box on the way. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. So, but I will. I'll look forward to my Paulmans. And as always, I'll give my honest review. And I'll look forward to snacking on it.
You know, you make me wonder now, because that whole peanuts in the Coca-Cola thing is an old Southern tradition.
I don't know anybody my age that didn't do that. Who didn't put peanuts in their Coke back then?
Well, I think we're going to have a Paulman challenge between you and me, John. You get an ice cold Coca-Cola, and I'll get an ice cold Coca-Cola, and we'll put a little handful of Paulmans in the bottom and just see what happens.
And we'll test the theory out and see how this works.
Yes, indeedy.
I can't believe anybody ain't never put. I thought that was still a thing. But I
no, any minute now, I'm going to start getting emails from other parts of the country and the world going, what in the hell's wrong with you and him?
What are you?
Peanuts in a Coca-Cola.
Peanuts in a Coke. Are you shitting me? No, don't do that. Yes, yes, do that. It's a great thing.
And because when you get to the peanut,
you get the refreshing Coke and a little snack at the same time.
Yeah, and a little bit of salt in the Coke, and yes, when the Coke's gone, you kind of have to work at it, but you get the peanuts out, and damn, they're good.
Oh man, I just had a call coming in, but it stopped. I've had several of my Blue Dot members, family members, trying to call me here lately. Wish me well on Christmas, I'm sure. We've grown a lot, though, Bob.
Oh, yes, you have. Yes, you have.
Yep, we our family page, Blue Dot Family, went over 10,000. And as a matter of fact, they're 10,000, way over 10,300 last time I looked. So what is that? Is that Sparky Dunk's garage?
Yeah, that's the man cave.
Looks like it.
That's the man cave with the man
tree.
Wow,
that's the man cave.
Cool, buddy. Just like me. You don't never get rid of a refrigerator, buddy. I got tools stored in the one. I got flammables in another one. You never throw a refrigerator away, bub. You put it out there in the shop.
Well, you know, Brother Deacon Asa and I have been talking. I'm thinking if I can lay hands on one and, like, rip the motor out of it and everything, I'm going to make a cold smoker out of one, John.
Oh, I bet that would.
Take some
got a good seal in there.
Yeah, take some flexible dryer hose off of the, and put it on the chimney of the acorn cooker.
Yeah.
And have enough of a run of it so that the smoke will cool before by the time, and then put it, and then bring it inside the bottom of the old refrigerator, and put a chimney in the top, and hang a ham or maybe some pork bellies that have been cured and stuff in there. And have homemade hams and bacons and sausage. Yes,
there
sir.
There we go. Talk faster, Bob. Talk faster.
I can't. I was born down south, John. It's about as fast as I can go right now.
I'll tell you what. That's the kind of cooking and ingenuity that puts a spread on that nobody else can beat. Man, I'm telling you. That sounds like a great idea, Bob.
Well, I'm hoping. I'm hoping maybe we'll be.
Turkey. Somebody's trying it as we speak, I believe.
I'm hoping that we can have everything in place to have it working by the time spring comes. Because here, with it being the winter solstice and everything, now the winter solstice when a middle-aged man's fancy turns to thoughts of spring.
Yeah.
And barbecue.
And barbecue.
So.
And more daylight.
So the sun is going, speaking of daylight, the sun is about to go down over the Pacific. I turned my camera on. That's my view from my office window.
That's your
nice
view,
days, on nice days, I can see Santa Catalina Island in the distance in the ocean. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's slipping behind a building that I'm looking at. I'm looking west. Not so good for radio necessarily, but hey, you know.
You bastard, it's been dark here for hours, man.
Wait. I don't think Steve from Georgia Stands ever hauled out a you bastard. This may be an auspicious evening. This may have to go on the Steve's greatest hits list right behind the bubblegum from
1983. Oh, there
he goes. Making history, buddy. You're making history.
Rick knows I love him, but I don't mean nothing.
Well, you know what? I'm really suffering from the weather here. It was like I had to like take off my sweater and walk in my shirt sleeves, and it was probably 75
rough life.
Degrees. It was awfully cold here.
It's a rough life.
Yeah,
right,
rub it in.
God damn it. I'm looking down at that parking lot thinking, you know, if you had a chauffeur, that's probably where he'd be parked right down there.
Oh, I'm sure he is. It's going to take him to the next. It's going to take Billable Rick to the next billiards tournament.
That's right. That's it, man. And again, I could offer him a few tips.
You know, and he's got his
that hook on. I got that hook in the water out there, you see.
Yeah, I know. And he's got his leather bound diamond encrusted pool cue case. And then his pool cue has got zircon, and he removes the pool cue with his zircon encrusted tweezers. And yeah.
You're not intimidating me. You're not intimidating me a bit, Rick.
What I do when I'm intimidating people is I wear my derby cap while I play, or my cowboy hat if I feel more, you know.
Oh, well, there you go. Wear your cowboy hat, and we'll just look like
Well, them two old boys don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah,
we can fish them right in, baby.
And my stick has actually won about 7 MVPs by the guy who is loaning it to me. And after the match the other night, he jokingly said, "Hey, maybe I should get that pool cue back from you." So
I don't play as much as I used to. I used to play quite often. Nowadays, I've noticed it's sort of like my golf game. It's the best game I'm going to have is the first game I play when I walk up to the table.
Oh, that's Steve's.
That's going to be me. After that, I start really overthinking my game.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? You just have to take the shot and figure out where the cue ball is going to end up so you can get another shot. But you can't.
Line up your next shot. Don't look 3 or 4 down the road.
Well, exactly.
The next shot. That's my problem.
Exactly. But even in terms of lining up the next shot, you got to remember that you got to make the shot that you're on. So worst comes to worst, and you end up doing auto defense on yourself because you can't get to a ball you need to get to, then you at least do a bank or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So Sparky is showing us the man cave sign earlier that he got from Steve from Georgistan. There we go.
All right.
Is so cool.
Oh that's awesome.
Look at that. Got a sign that says man cave. Are you shitting?
Cool.
Look at that. Got the Pringles right there. I'm sorry. That's lifeguard.
I had to bone my ass Pringles off to win that fucking thing, man.
All right.
You got a computer mouse.
You bowled, Steve, for that one?
Yeah. Yeah. And
what did you roll?
These hee-haws can't bowl, Rick. I mean, I only bowled like a 220, but still I won the tournament, and I was able to pick my prize.
Oh, you sandbagging, poor mouth, and I only bowled a 220.
But that's not very good, though, Bob. I grew up at a bowling alley right across the street from one, so it's nothing to brag about, you know.
Well, the day I had
I'd have to bowl 4 attack. Times to bowl a 220, Steve.
Well, bottom line was
mixed in there, Bob.
Bottom line was I got to pick my prize, and I seen that. I said, "That's Duncan," and so I got it. But then I didn't have any way to ship it to him. Karen said, "You got all these Crown Royal bags. You must have 200 of them. Use that as packing material." So I did, and it made it to him. And now Judy wants to make a blanket, and I have more Crown Royal bags, and they're on the way.
Keep drinking the Crown Royal, Steve. That was good stuff that you shared with the group in Georgia.
Yeah, love it. I've been cut back to once or twice a week, but, you know, gosh. Yeah. Drink less, but when you drink, you enjoy it more. You know, you really do.
Exactly. And speaking of trips, in talking to the lady cab driver, Tracy, she would love a Hornin. She would probably fly into D.C. and spend some time there with her spouse, and then they drive together towards West Virginia because she doesn't really want to take one of those prop planes to get into Charleston or whatever, you know?
Bob is looking at various options. So. I still want him to have it under the bridge, but he's looking at other options. So he's the boss. He's the priest.
Well, there's
the
nothing horn. Under the bridge. I mean, we could go under the bridge, but I mean, I don't mean go under the bridge, but I mean, we could take a trip under the bridge.
Right. Or under the bridge.
Hey, let me see if I can bring. I've been trying to bring the stress line on for a while now, but every time, and I'm trying to merge a couple of calls here. I don't know if it's working or not. Let's see. I think I've got Todd and Scott. Are y'all there?
Todd, yeah, I'm here.
Are you there, Todd?
Yep.
Okay. I got you. I brought Todd in first. So, what's happening, man?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Happy solstice.
Good. Happy solstice. I'm telling you.
Todd, Scott, hey, how you guys doing,
Scott,
man?
How you doing, man?
How's it? Everybody sounds great. Did you guys hear Bob last night? Oh, my God, Bob, you were on fire last night, by the way.
Really? Okay. Thank you.
Bob, absolutely.
Bob was on fire?
He always is, man.
Well, yeah, right? I'm sorry if I'm talking to you. I don't know.
That propane was turned all the way up, I suppose, then, Bob.
You know what? I never know if it's too loud or too soft.
No, you're doing Right now, you're doing great, Todd.
Okay. So check this out. I have a very important question for Sparky. Now, I have a relative that lives next door to me, and I actually used to live in that house when they were rehabbing it, because that house is from 1890-something. So when they were rehabbing it, they finished one room, and it had everything. It had the like a new bathroom, and it was great. The rest of the house was all jacked up. But they had this kerosene, like, I'd never seen it before. It looked like a jet engine. And I'm wondering if that's what he's talking about. It's like you put kerosene in it, and it blows, blows out hot air. Like you can't get near it. Like, this ain't no joke. Like, really, you shouldn't have it in the house. I mean, and they left it there. And I was like, Mom, I think you should get that back. You know, it's my mom's old house, right?
Sparky, yours is propane, though, isn't it?
Is that what you're talking about? Is it like one of these
It roars.
They're no joke, man.
It looks like a little jet engine.
Yeah, it's a jet engine.
Yeah.
Woo!
It throws a little fuel in there, ignition, and boom, there it goes.
That's a good way there to cook goes. Some this... stew or something.
Oh, baby,
know how they're legal.
The rig floor of a drilling rig in the middle of winter raining, making connections on a drilling rig, and two of those blowing towards the center of that floor, and it wasn't enough, but it was enough to keep your feet warm, I reckon.
In the heating and cooling industry, those devices are known as Trumps because of the volume of hot air that they blow.
All right. Yeah. You tried real hard on that, Scott.
Well, what did I tell you?
By the way, speaking of cowbells, and here's another one. That for Chris in the Northwest Territories. Horn Porch, stop telling me how to appreciate winter solstice. I think we had less than 2 hours of light today.
I've been there too.
So who announces a change of political strategy on Twitter and doesn't tell anybody in the Defense Department and just goes on and just declares ISIS has been vanquished and that everything's great? You know, I mean, who's – so this was Erdogan who did that.
Yeah, Erdogan told him to get out, and he said, yes, sir.
Yep. You know, what a – I can't believe that. I mean, does this shutdown.
Well, hold on. You can't, but why, Otto? Why? Why can't you believe that? I mean, you can believe it. It's him.
I can believe it, but it's just unbelievable to me. It's just like, where do we get, how do we get here? That's what, I'm just sitting here all day long listening to the news and watching, listening to progressive radio and whatnot.
Hey,
kids. And it's like... I'm just dumbfounded. That's all.
As Scott would say, Otto, we're all screwed.
Am I there still, or am I here still?
Yeah, you're still here.
The
Kurds are totally screwed.
I mean, they've been screwed from time immemorial. I mean, you know, Bush, encouraged them to try to overthrow Saddam.
Okay,
withdrew his support, and they got slaughtered then. And you know, nobody cares about the Kurds. That's the problem. And they're actually our staunchest allies in that part of the world.
In that part of the world, they are.
Well, they did all the dirty work of kicking ISIS's ass.
And has a long title.
Exactly.
That's right. And don't worry,
Scott.
Howard Schneider, Schneider, lecture on news.
Scott, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Scott?
It's quite good.
Apparently, Scott.
Is that?
Apparently, Scott can't hear me. Because we were having some crosstalk and everything going on there. Let's see here. I hope that's not problems with the stress line. Let's see. A headline just came from the Guardian: partial U.S. government shutdown virtually guaranteed amid deadlock over Trump's border wall funding. I mean,
what a shock.
Yeah. And the maggots, of course, will say, well, all we have to do is build a wall.
Oh, yes, they're going to,
there's a certain portion of them, Bob, that are going to go crazy. They're going to love this shit. Yeah, stand up to them. Tell them, libtards, they get out of here, man. We close the border. Put turrets on. That kind of group. They're going to love this shit.
Has anyone seen Ann Coulter's tweet after she realized Trump was going to fold? Because I think that's what this is all based on, is that she referred to him as a C-U-N-T. And maybe he saw that Twitter or that tweet.
Yeah, Limbaugh called her out, too. So we got Limbaugh, Coulter, and fucking Fox News running the country now, man.
Well, yeah, it's nothing like policy being directed by, right-wing nutjob talkers.
Well, nothing like policy being driven by a junkie in Florida.
My friends, we've got to have the wall. Give me another handful of those pills. I chew them up for the refreshing burst of flavor.
There you go. Rush lipstick.
Imelda, you got to go get some more of those for me. Put them in a paper bag and just go through the drive-thru.
Here's another cigar box with another $20,000 in it. Bring me another box full of that. Bring me another box full of Oxy.
Get me some pills or you're fired.
There's a reason we call Rush Limbaugh the oxymoron.
Yeah. Right. He lost his hearing because of that.
Yeah. He had to have a cochlear implant.
He lost his ever freaking mind.
God,
long time
what
ago.
An evil fucker. Jeez.
He's just like Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter, all of them. They're ate up with their ultra-right view of what America should be, which includes the goddamn border wall. So get it up there. Hurry up. Let's go. There's
Uncle John.
Donating for that. Donate.
Uncle John, how you been, brother?
I'm hanging in there, buddy. Got the knot tied on the end of the rope. They can't
yes, sir.
Loose, baby.
Yes, sir. Well, it's good to hear from you. Thanks for checking in, man.
You feeling better, John?
Yeah, shoulder's doing a whole lot better.
Great.
I guess that stuff finally worked its way in there. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, trying to keep the message going, baby. Keep everybody motivated. Keep paying attention to what's going on. Next week, all progressive talk
is on vacation, so you got it, bro. It's all you, man. You and Bob, man. I'll be out there promoting, the best I can,
Is Molloy on vacation as well or not?
No, I can't speak for Molloy, but all the heavy hitters, Randy.
Yeah.
Use everybody. Stop telling us how to use social media, Bob. use social media and tell folks that John and I are out there and we're live.
And
invite people to the conversation. Invite people to the community.
Sure. And I'm not saying you're not a heavy hitter, Bob. In my head, you're...
I'm not a heavy hitter. I play... Are you kidding?
In my head, you're just as big as any of these.
I'm strictly...
I've been listening to you for 20 years,
I'm
man.
Strictly wiffle ball.
Wow.
15.
Given a chance, Bob, you would be like the cleanup hitter, okay?
Since terrestrial days, I mean...
I'm the guy who bats eighth in the National League and gets pulled and gets pulled for a pinch hitter who's actually a fucking pitcher, okay? That's who I am.
God damn it, we gotta change this, man. Stuff's wrong with this.
Hey, by the way, I gotta...
Stop telling us how to pinch hit.
stop telling us to have to think about you, Bob. goddamn neoliberal establishment shill.
Freaking dart.
Question coming in for Billable Rick. Ask Rick, this is from Jimmy. Ask Rick what league does he play, APA, UPA, or what? I play APA.
Yes, APA is what I play, both 8-ball as well as 9-ball. And then on Tuesday nights, I've gotten invited the last several weeks to the men's doubles league, and I don't know what kind of league they are. That's just a local league. So it's the APA, and essentially one of the distinguishing factors of the APA is if you scratch on anything other than the break, you get ball in hand, okay? And slop does count. So if you what was that?
Yeah, no, I don't like that.
My power is going awry here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you're right there.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Well, that's weird. My screens all of a sudden both went black. It's like, oh, my God. Display
clear,
driver
brother
stopped
Rick.
Responding. What the hell is that?
Yeah, oh. I found out about you, Rick.
You're not a governor. You're not a federal.
Now.
I think he's hitting that. I think he's hitting that heartburn medication that he brought.
You know, that makes a perfect container. That's my go-to container now for my, let's just say, medical stuff.
Hey, I just by the way, gang, Kitty in Boston says hey. Tell the Horn family I said hey. Kitty says hey.
Hi,
y'all.
Kitty.
Hey, Kitty.
Kitty says, what's your holiday broadcast plan? Well, here it is. I plan to be live Monday, Christmas Eve, and it'll be a game time decision. I may be here Christmas night, but I'll definitely be here the 26th, 27th, and 28th. And I mean, look, I'm going to be here even though the Mountaineers are going to be playing football during the game. But I've already explained that. So
dedication.
Should be live pretty much all week unless I just completely lazy out and take Christmas off.
Fucking neoliberal Bill Krieger. Damn
shit. It. Yeah. What kind of crap is that?
Sitting out a game. I mean, come on. There's no sitting out of games in football.
Just remember.
That's like, you know, being in a playoff.
You know, we quit on Christmas.
And saying, no, I'm not going to shoot. You can't do that.
Walmart employees work on Christmas.
Yeah.
They're closed on Christmas.
Oh, are they?
Really?
Yeah.
Which big chain makes their workers work on Christmas? I'm trying to figure out.
I'm not sure if there's any. I think a lot of these retailers used to be open on Christmas, but they were shamed into changing their policies, you know?
Because I remember 2 years ago that people were complaining about that. Maybe things have changed.
I think like racetrack and the convenience stores, which there's a need for it. That's why if you go in there, thank them for
convenience
stores. Jesus,
you know, slip them a 20. Right? Yeah. I mean, if you got heartburn and there's no Zantac to be had, you're glad you're fucking there. You know.
Agnes. Okay. Wait. I have an announcement from the boss.
Warrior princess.
Agnes, the Viking warrior Pharaoh princess, declares we will be live Christmas.
Oh,
all right.
So,
Agnes.
So if that's the case, then let's plan, because there won't be a hell of a lot of news on Christmas. Let's plan on a Christmas on the front porch.
You
How
say,
about that?
You
oh
don't
my
know,
goodness!
Bob, cool. You don't know awesome. What Trump can right, out of awesome. His ass for Christmas. Everybody else will be busy. I'm sure he'll try to do something.
Well, I've got a project. I want to do future situation comedies with the Trump family after all this is over and done with. What's going to happen in the next 4 or 5 years, but fictional-wise, you know, so you can think of, like, your own version of where Trump's going to be 4 or 5 years down the road. Or the family, are they going to all be in jail? What's going to happen?
That's all so that's jumping up in my head is prison. That's the vision I see.
Is Donnie Jr. going to be roommates with the situation in prison? Is that it?
Yeah.
You know, the guy from Jersey Shore?
Maybe so.
You never know.
No, it'll be like Goodfellas when they're all, you know, cooking Italian food in jail.
In jail, yeah, there you go. What great times.
They're cutting their garlic down to like little
slivers, yeah, like so it liquefies.
Yeah. I love that movie, man.
Well, that movie is great. One of the best ever made, man.
Yeah, Trump will be the head of his cell block. I'm the boss here.
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't see him as being the boss of the cell, but I don't think it's going to work. Not
He'll
behind be bars, baby.
Yeah. The orange
somebody's
is the new
gonna
black.
Slap him and tell him to shut the hell up.
Yeah. Hopefully he's caged with Bubba, and that's all I'm gonna say about
that. Sunset, baby. Rick, you got it going out there, Bubba. I'm proud of it. Look at that sunset.
Yeah, we got the sunset over the.
God damn it, Rick.
Not great color. I'm
telling you, man.
That's
his office.
That's my office.
He just keeps rubbing it in, you know.
Yeah, eat your heart.
Here, we'll reverse it.
Oh, no, turn it the other way, Rick.
There he is.
You too, sir. Hey,
there you go.
Experience. Stop the glare.
There you go, baby.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, you too.
Nice.
Agnes has declared it will be the Horn Family Community Congregation's virtual I'll Be Home for Christmas show of 2018.
Cool. Hey, can we do a gift exchange, Bob? Like a gag gift exchange? That'd be fun.
White elephant, yeah.
Yeah, white elephant.
I'll wrap up some Boudreaux's butt cream and just send it to
you. How about a tiny hiney? That would be a good gift.
Oh, there
you know,
go.
I got to tell you, I've been checking the mail every day, and I thought surely by now somebody, and don't call anybody
don't
Shirley.
Don't call me Shirley.
Yeah, I thought by now someone would certainly have sent a shiny hiney along, but I guess not.
I got
4 days still, Bob. You might get it.
You got problems with your butt, Bob?
No, I'm self conscious now, John, and I'm afraid it's not shiny.
Because you have become aware of it. See, that's the way religion works. You pick the apple. Next thing you know everything.
God now, damn the talking
you
snakes!
Know, you did not know there was going to be a product out there that would shine your hiney. But now you know.
There
somebody send Bob some shiny hiney, please.
No. Sincerely, don't. Don't. That was a bit. That was a joke. No.
To the PMB box on Eisenhower.
Yes, no, and you can and by the way, you can fuck right off on sending me a Trumpy beer too.
Also, did you know that Ted Kaczynski's his favorite holiday was Christmas? He just loved wrapping gifts and sending them on. You remember the Unabomber?
That's cold. That's yes.
That sounds like a Abra joke, but it might be true as well. Who knows?
No, my brother sent me a Christmas card with Ted Kaczynski wrapping a gift, and underneath it says, "You know, Ted's Kaczynski's favorite holiday was Christmas."
Yeah.
Like, he's got the sneer on his face.
So how long do you sit there looking at the package, determining whether or not you should open that thing?
Yeah. Hey, speaking of holidays, you all know what Jeffrey Dahmer's favorite holiday is.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, well, please.
Thanksgiving.
Pray tell what?
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, how appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had that special dinner.
All right. Okay, so there's a smartass in the chat room, Mac Ba, who says, can we please start a GoFundMe to get Bob a Trumpy bear? No, you can't. You absolutely can't.
Now, y'all totally notice that Bob did not say that you could not start a GoFundMe page to get him shiny honey. He did not.
You're not. Hey, John,
said he didn't want a Trumpy bear now.
John Bridivo, you're not fucking off enough.
So, Bob.
Let me go fuck off. Okay, I'm back.
Yeah, there we go.
I think we've ruined dinner time in the mountain region already now with that comment about Jeffrey Dahmer. But hey, whatever.
Yeah, I would say that. yep. Dinner. Yep. The dinner hour just got ruined in the mountain time zone. God only knows
what
we'll
Jeffrey
do to
does.
Dinner in the Pacific time zone.
We have a little
You know what Jeffrey Dahmer's problem was? He just didn't like being lonely.
Didn't want to
pause. No, he didn't like being lonely, and he didn't like it when people left his apartment. So he'd kill them so they would stay. That was his whole logic.
Boy, howdy shit.
On that note,
need a friend that bad.
Hey, Billable Rick, did you catch the because we talked about it last week? Did you catch the follow up to the big double? I mentioned this a couple of nights ago. The follow-up to the big double secret probation clearing of the courthouse.
Yeah. That there was a three-page order that the D.C. Circuit issued, which makes it clear that subpoena was directed to a foreign, I guess, a financial institution owned by a foreign government.
Well, it doesn't say financial institution, but it says foreign corporation entirely owned by a foreign government.
Okay, I mean, I think we can probably conclude it's banking, because I think this is about the money laundering, my guess. I don't know for sure, you know, about Trump's finances. So the theory over in Randyland on the roadshow is that it involves that Cypriot bank that Wilbur Ross is connected to. And, that, you know, they had a meeting in the Seychelles involving a bunch of people, including a representative of that bank and Eric Prince from
Prince was there. Yep.
From, you know, the mercenary Eric Prince, and I think maybe a Trump kid was there. I don't know if Don Jr. was there. You know. Anyway, they supposedly had like a chance meeting in the Seychelles when they just happened to all be there. You know, amazing how that works, you know? So I think that's that
I have a slightly different theory.
Okay.
So I wish I still had the link, because it's kind of a complicated, nerdy, wonky computer sort of story.
Okay. Well, I have a copy of the opinion here. Let me look at it here while you're.
Well, I read the opinion too. Okay. But the thing is, there's a bank in Russia that was making inexplicable attempts to communicate with a Trump server.
Alpha Bank, I think.
Yes.
And, yeah, that could be it.
And that might and we there's no way to know that might be the back channel.
Yeah, they're trying to create a back channel to Russia.
But probably it probably makes more. But the thing is, is the Bank of Cyprus owned entirely by the country of Cyprus?
Well, is this a wholly owned a foreign company, a company wholly owned by a foreign government? Is that what the opinion
that's
says?
That's the way I read the opinion.
Okay. Yeah,
that it was wholly owned by a foreign government.
Yeah. Yeah, the interesting argument they made is that they were immune from the subpoena under the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. Which generally prevents suits against, other countries. but the grand jury power is very strong, and that didn't work, apparently. Let's see here. It just says it's... Let's see here. Yeah, it's a corporation. Does it say if it's wholly owned? I mean, they invoked the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, which only applies against, you know, foreign sovereigns.
Yeah, there was a I read it the other day. Maybe I dropped a stitch or something. But yeah. I got from the opinion that it was a corporation owned by a sovereign foreign government.
Yeah, I think it is. Because otherwise they wouldn't have made the FSIA argument, you'd think, right?
Right.
Yeah, it says a corporation owned by country A. Grand jury seeks information from a corporation owned by country A. And they moved to quash the subpoena, claiming they were immune under the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act and that the subpoena was unenforceable as unreasonable and oppressive.
They claimed they
require them to violate their country A's domestic law.
And the court wasn't having any of it.
No. Mm-mm.
They found the argument about requiring them to violate their country's law to be unconvincing.
Right. Yeah, it found that the Foreign Sovereign Immunities claim was not valid because the subpoena fell within the Act's exception for commercial activities. So, in other words, when a sovereign entity conducts business, they're not really exercising, you know, the necessary or the essential prerogatives of a sovereign. They're just engaged in commerce, and that also applies to the federal government when they're engaged in commerce through agencies. Sovereign immunity will not work to prevent a suit against them if they were acting in a commercial manner rather than in a governmental manner. So if they were not carrying out an essential governmental function, then they can be sued despite sovereign immunity. Yeah, this is going to be interesting.
But the degree of secrecy surrounding it is still kind of weird, isn't it?
It is weird. It is weird. I mean, clearly it relates
to the Mueller investigation. Exactly why they used it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. If you can, and I read so much in the course of any given day
that, you know, like I'll read something on Facebook or I'll read something on Twitter and then I'll open the link and then I'll save the link and try to make sure that I put it in my browser so that I've got it for. And somehow or another, I fucked up on this one. But the story of the internet sleuthing that went on with this business of this bank pinging this server, and it was somewhere in PA, I think, is absolutely bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that?
Wow, it's dinner time apparently for somebody.
Oh, that's my cat, Lyra. She's saying hi to Warrior Witch.
Oh, there you go. Hello. Looks like the lovely Tracy has joined our group here.
Yay. Tracy's there.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, darling.
Hey, guys. How are you?
I'm a member of the Tracy fan club.
Doing great, Tracy.
Aren't we?
Oh, okay.
So is the cat.
So is the cat, obviously.
Yeah, who brought the cat?
Who brought the
cat? Does the cat have your tongue?
That's one of my commie cats. She wants to start a revolution. I keep trying to keep.
She's in good company, baby.
You want a revolution? Oh, yeah.
So,
hey, nobody
question.
Sings here but me.
Yeah. John's in trouble then.
I have to fight the urge.
Go ahead, Tracy.
The main reason why I was calling, because I was kind of not even paying attention to the time, and then I was watching the 3:30 version of the evening news, and up pops this story about the young man that was a wrestler that was had dreadlocks.
Oh yeah.
And the official made him cut. It was either cut your dreadlocks off or forfeit the game, the match. So on while he's standing there, they cut this young man's dreadlocks off.
Jesus.
I sent you.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I can't even wrap my head. It is such, this young man looked like he was about to cry. I mean, and he goes on to win the match. And of course the white people like see team spirit and, you know, taking one for the team and totally missing the point that this young man was assaulted.
What did his hair have anything to do with the match?
They're saying, because the official was saying, it's just such bullshit. Of course, the official was white. And this young man has been wrestling the whole season with no issue. And then this guy says, well, and then apparently there was something he could have done to his hair to like tie it back or wear something over it. And that would have been fine. But the official refused to let him do it.
Now, are we talking about a wrestling official or are we talking about Trump again?
We're talking
like the same freaking person.
No, we're talking about a wrestling official.
Yeah, I bet I know how that asshole voted, though.
Yeah, you bet your ass you did.
I mean,
Well, that's just not right. That boy should have a case.
He should have a case. And the thing is, I'm sorry, but this is the kind of shit that as black people and black women and black, you know, it's one of those things where we are judged by our
hair. It's not all of us, Tracy, baby. I know it is,
baby. We are judged by our hair. And any excuse to mess with us and to make this and to have him, to have his hair cut, where were his parents? Because I can't imagine that his parents weren't there. His parents couldn't have been there. They couldn't have been. Especially,
I wouldn't think so.
Because he looked like he could be mixed. He was light skinned. So I'm pretty sure that if his mother was there and she was black, that this would not happen. Because she would have been on the floor, you know, ripping people.
Or any parent with any self-respect, whether no matter what color, would have should have jumped up and said something. But this, you know, we're never gonna, you know, Tracy. I wish I could say we're gonna be there one day, but we ain't never going to be there because all through history, there's always going to be some asshole who's going to be some racist shit who's going to spread it to his kid, and it's going to live forever. Our job is to stomp it out as much as we can whenever we find it as deep as we can. But don't kid yourself. There is always going to be somebody that's teaching their kids that kind of shit.
Because it all begins in the home.
That's it, yeah, baby.
Right.
Your child will learn what you teach him or her. I got two boys. But that's it, you know.
John, I'll bet you in Texas where you are, like in West Virginia where I am, once we started sending our kids to school, Agnes and I had to work double time to try to make sure that our kids were not infected with the hate that other parents were sending their children to school with.
That's it. I've said it on my show. I am so proud of my sons, the way they act in life, the way they carry themselves. They don't put up with it, and they don't put up with it within our own family. My son's turned away a cousin because he carries that racist shit with him. He thinks he's going to come around here and talk or get on the phone and talk like that. No. Get out of here. We don't need that shit. And that's exactly, I'm proud of that. You know, I am serious, as we all should be, because it doesn't matter whether Martin was white, black, the words that came out of that man's mouth to judge a person on his character. How can that not ring within every one of us? That the person you are determines your character, you know, who you are, not the color of our skin or what religion we have or whatever asterisk everybody wants to put next to everybody's name. You know, it's the context of each one of our characters that determines who we are.
Listen to what somebody said. Andrew Johnson's team, like you said, John, Andrew Johnson's teammates and coaches protesting on his behalf would have been a true reflection of team and dignity at Mike Frankel at SNJ, please discontinue framing this as a good story. It is actually a reflection of bias and acquiescence to bias.
Who on earth would frame that as a happy story?
Because he won the match.
And because he took one for the team?
But did he?
Mm-hmm.
And if he would have lost, I don't get that through. You know, just because he won, the mere fact of saying you have to cut your hair off before you compete is no, that's a line right there.
Well, I mean, I've got some passing familiarity with wrestling, and I'm not talking about the Saturday night down at the Armory kind of wrestling. What in the hell does that have to do? I mean, so what? His opponent was going to be lost and smothered in his dreads? I mean, what?
Really? That's what I was wondering. What difference does those
or is this a sort of parallel to the idea that a woman has to be careful what she wear lest she inflame the uncontrollable passions of some troglodyte male? And what I'm saying by that is, well, you know, I mean, if those dreads are there in wrestling, somebody's just naturally going to pull his hair, and that's illegal. And so we don't want to put the other student athlete at risk of doing that.
Exactly.
It's some kind of bullshit. Or you could swing them and hurt somebody. They'll have any kind of little excuse to further that kind of bullshit.
Oh, here's something nice. Back in 2016, Maloney, the referee in question, poked his finger into the chest of a fellow black referee and called him a nigger due to the disagreement over homemade wine and wanted
to get his body slammed. So what is that guy even doing being a referee at this point? If that's in his history, what the hell is he even doing out there?
Maloney wound up getting a slap on the wrist as his one-year suspension was overturned after a long appeal process, and he was allowed to referee again after taking some sensitivity training and an alcoholic awareness program.
Like, that's going to help.
Well, and
drunk.
Here's a note from Robert in Australia, for whom the days have already begun to grow longer. Subject line, Catholic school. In 1971, at Catholic school, the brother, and in this case, brother does not mean what brother means in the United States. We're talking about some Roman Catholic cleric. The brother, who was our class master, was from another era. He would check everyone's hair every morning. If it touched your ear, you were caned. Six of the best. If your shoes weren't shined, you were caned. That's what we all looked forward to every morning at Catholic school. And people wonder why I'm an atheist. Not I. Not I. Mm-mm. Not I, Robert. But, it... And see, so as is so often the case, racism will run hand-in-hand with authoritarianism, just like child sexual abuse runs hand-in-hand with authoritarianism. There is nothing about authoritarianism that isn't toxic. There's authority, and then there's authoritarianism. And authoritarianism is a pernicious and punitive use of authority.
Hey, ain't that what Donnie wants to do?
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah.
Yes. That's the people he admires. Those are the traits that
that's what he aspires to be. But unfortunately, yes. he's got other levers of power in this government to kind of check him, which, have worked to some extent, but, not the Congress anyway. Democratic Congress.
We're going to get a change there.
Here's another great question coming from Kitty in Boston. Why couldn't the kid, if he agreed to have his dreads cut, why couldn't the kid have gone into the locker room and had a teammate cut his dreads? Why have a white woman chop him off on camera? Why didn't she refuse?
Exactly.
That's a damn good question. That's where it comes down to the individual actions of each individual person. If not that lady cutting the hair, why not somebody in the stands to stand up and say, hey, what are you doing? Nowadays, the way I run my mouth, I am scared to run into that one person that's really going to piss me off about either, condemning somebody for something, and I'm going to lose it.
It took a lot of, the Jewish inmates to run the concentration camps because the Nazis needed workers and they couldn't do everything themselves. So they basically, enlisted, some of the Jewish prisoners to do some of the dirty work, like, shoveling the bones out of the crematoria and things of that nature,
And by the way, going back to the question of the mysterious foreign entity, Darlene in Connecticut with an observation, maybe a Turkish government-owned company. Flynn was getting big bucks, around $600,000, for selling out the Turkish cleric expat Fethullah Gulen in PA for extradition to Turkey and back to Erdogan. And there was so much redacted information from Mueller's sentencing memos on Flynn. The fifth floor court shutdown was occurring at the same time as Flynn's sentencing. A high level of secrecy really seems to be revolving around the Flynn prong of the investigation. I'm probably way off base, says Darlene, but I'm throwing my hat in the ring on Turkey. I don't necessarily think you're so far off base. I mean, we just had Donald Trump bow and scrape and kowtow to that petty pissant dictator in Turkey.
Right.
And so all this is happening after his meeting with the Turkish prime minister,
right?
We got someone named E4 in the room here.
Yeah, E4.
And there was silence again.
E4.
As we sit and ponder, E4.
Live E418. 5-1 or something. Oh, hi, Fred.
by the way, since there's a little bit of a lull, we're 25 past the hour, and Steve from Georgia Stan messaged me and says, hey, Bob, where are we? We're $60 from done.
Oh, sweet.
So
$60.
$60 from done. So that's,
if you're enjoying this broadcast and enjoying the fine conversation, the intellectual exchange being... Y'all donate, because Bob's worth it, baby.
Damn, that's only 20 people with $5. We got this, man.
That's it.
Bob's putting out his finest Christmas hat for the donations, folks.
You're not going to get a better deal for your buck, baby.
Well, my cat donates two cans of cat food.
There you go.
Oh, that's nice.
Send it to my house. I need lots of cat food, buddy. Two is all you got? You're slacking off, buddy. I'm having to take up your slack. I got like 15.
John couldn't even say that with a straight face.
No. I mean, they come out of the woodwork around here. I got them all over the place.
I can tell you, Otto, that Mushu and Nix the little black cat will be more than thrilled. They do love their pate, which I've taken by the way to referring to as cat-a.
Great. Yeah, my cat is so spoiled. I just totally spoiled her. I feel really guilty about it.
Oh no! If ours go on a cat-a binge, and then we try to give them dry, they just walk up and go fuck it and knock it in the floor. It's like, who do you think you are?
You ought to see the interaction. We have two inside cats. They got lucky. There was two beautiful little cats that were born in the same group. My son thought they was cute. We brought them in the house. Now, there's about 15 to 19 cats that live outside. We live out in the country. We feed them all. But it's like those two inside the cats will sit there and look through the window, watch it, and there are 19 cats fight over all those bowls of dry cat food. And while they sit inside eating their pate in the air conditioner.
Hey, John, that's cat-a.
That's cat-a. Yeah.
Cat-a.
And that's a cat version of class warfare. You know, class warfare. There you go.
They're looking down. Antoinette and
King Louis are looking at the peasants outside.
19 cats is going to storm the Bastille one day.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Yeah. Wait.
Take us to the can opener.
Storm the cat steel?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kitty Robespierre.
I told my wife the other day when I come upstairs from doing my rant, it was right after she had gone out there and fed all of them. And I told her, I said, Jesus, I hope I never drop dead on the porch and nobody finds me because I'm just cat food out there. There's so many of them. We take care of every one of them, though. And, what else can you do? My dogs just look at them, so it's all family nowadays.
Well, poor cats, they're the most maligned of all the pets, I think. People really have little respect for cats if they're not cat lovers. I happen to love them. I've had over a dozen cats.
No, you don't know maligned until you've gone possum.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean,
possums make nice pets. And
possums are adorable.
Too. Yeah, and they're marsupials, and I never knew that.
And they will eat a rat. And they will, they've got that whole honey badger thing going on where serpents are concerned.
I'm going to throw this into the conversation because just this evening we have had a crisis going on. My son is faced with a major decision. Okay. My eldest son lives on the property in a building over here off the edge of the property. Well, he comes up to the house this evening with a little bitty baby mouse in a container. Dad, what do I do? I said, well, son, that's up to you because I don't want to be involved in this situation at all. I've been here too many times. Now, the situation is that he just found a baby mouse in his house. Now, that means there's a mouse in his house somewhere. Now, if a mouse was caught in a mousetrap, he wouldn't think twice about it. But now he has a little baby mouse in his hands. What are you going to do? You know.
Oh, dear.
Well, we do have a lot of hungry cats.
Well, don't ask Sparky. He recommends electrocuting them.
Oh, man, I don't feel so less. That's sick.
Anyway, he's faced with a decision, but that electrocution thing brings to mind. My neighbor told me one time raccoons had gotten into the trash out. How do you stop this? This guy's telling me that you ought to put a piece of sheet metal down. And put some wood blocks on it, put your garbage can up in there, and then throw some water down there and put some electrical line down there and attach one to this plate. And when the coon comes up to get the electricity and all, I ain't doing that shit. I'd rather feed the raccoon.
Uncle John, I just got some disturbing news, brother.
I don't need disturbing
news. I know. I'm sorry, my man. I'm sorry.
You know, we shoot the messenger around here.
Yeah. According to Sailor Chick in the chat room, the Senate has adjourned for the night, and the shutdown is on.
I seen that just drop down on my ticker, baby. We're going to
Yeah, that was the next thing. That was the next thing I was going to mention. Yeah, they've bailed. They've quit. Yeah, see ya. Goodbye.
Motherfuckers. Jesus Christ.
Going right to a shutdown, baby. Okay, right, you know it's what the it Democrats' is. Fault. You know they just won't.
It's a Trump down, right?
And there we go.
Video proof until Giuliani says there's no video. He didn't say that.
Yeah, he didn't say that.
How many
say it? He didn't. It wasn't wrong.
How many holidays are going to be ruined now because of this orange fucker? God, what's it going to take? What's it going to take? I've been asking
the bottom line. He doesn't give a shit. He's got them down here on the troops, the soldiers down here on the southern border. He doesn't give a shit. They're going to be away from their family.
Oh, man.
And just for the record, the federal agencies affected include those that oversee homeland security, law enforcement, tax collection, and transportation. And come midnight, they all have to start shutting down certain operations.
Mission essential. That's the only people that work. I worked for the government through a shutdown through the last time when I was back in the, I think it was 90s that we had a shutdown. I try to tell people, they work for the federal government. They'll get paid. No. No, you don't work. We're just like everybody else. If you don't work, you don't get paid.
And if you you're designated an essential personnel, you have to work without pay and then hope that Congress authorizes you get paid when they finally
right. Your personnel it's up to Congress to decide if you get paid or not.
Well, if you
over in Turkey, he's got some in Russia, he's got some over. He don't give a shit. He's got all the money.
Is this going to affect security at the airports?
No, they have. Well, they have to keep working for free.
Yeah, they have to keep.
Well, they're essential personnel. They're working for free.
A shutdown before Christmas. How ridiculous is that? A shutdown before Christmas.
Well, that's that. Look, I was thinking about this earlier today. The fact of the matter is, somebody, maybe the ghost of Fred Trump, needs to visit Donnie and carry his, these are the chains that I forged in life.
He wraps them around Donnie's neck.
That is a great Lawton that you just did, Bob. That's amazing.
It really was.
Oh, God.
You're just a bucket of talent, aren't you, Bob?
It's Bob. You should do the remake of Les Miserables with Charles Lawton.
Ooh, well, that sounds like a lot of fun, but I mean, I'd be happy for a remake.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I would be happy if Julius Geezer could just have his own personal remake of the fucking Christmas Carol. And get wised up. I mean, this is ridiculous. We've got a president of the United States who is a stand-in for Ebenezer goddamn Scrooge.
That's him.
Yeah.
And not only that, he's a fucking psychopath.
Well, I think you can argue that Scrooge was a sociopath.
He has no feelings for other people. None whatsoever. That's the definition of a psychopath.
Well, didn't he pass down a rule that he wanted all military personnel with who are HIV positive out of the military? Didn't that come down the pike? Yeah. I mean, he does this before Christmas.
The same thing about he makes a decision and proclaims it. This is not a monarchy.
If you're less than 49 years old, he has cut you off of food stamps unless you're willing to go out and sling fries, regardless of, you know.
Of what reason?
Of the conditions, yeah. Jesus Christ, man. We're in a hell of a mess.
Shit, buddy.
Mm-mm. Yeah, this guy is
the king
of misery making. Trump making.
Well, so I've got the Washington Post story about the Congress taking it on the lam. And consider for a moment what was necessary, what the Senate was down to trying to do. We checked in with a little bit of their speechify in there. But they had a procedural vote a little bit ago. And Schumer and McConnell agreed that that procedural vote would preserve the possibility of a compromise bill to unshut down the government. Now, get this. It was tied, the vote to come up with a compromise to keep the government open was tied 47 to 47. And Pence stepped in and made it 48-47 so that the measure could pass.
You know, I'm about tired of Mike Pence coming up there doing that.
Well, but the thing is, I mean, you wanted, you know, this was a compromise, and it didn't have the wall in it. So, arguably, Geezer Disgustus will be even angrier and more paranoid about Pence.
Right.
Okay. So, in the aftermath of that bill passing, here's the statement that came from Chinless Mitch McConnell. I hope Senate Democrats will work with the White House on an agreement that can pass both houses of Congress and then receive the president's signature. Democrats.
I thought we already did that.
Yeah, they did that.
It was unanimous.
The voice vote, yeah, 100%.
Well, hold on a damn minute. Who was voting no on this this compromise bill? And the Horn Research Ad Hoc Research Committee would have to get on this pretty quick. But I'd like to see the vote tally on the yays and nays on this. Because McConnell saying that it's on the Democrats to make this work, well, the Democrats are not the ones over in the House who injected the $5 billion for the stupid, ignorant, dumber in the head and the hog is in the ass wall money into it.
The monument.
Well,
the
they did that knowing that it wouldn't pass Senate, so they could blame Democrats.
Yeah, well, pretty much. And so with very little time remaining in the program, we're $60 out from being finished with the year, week, with the month, with the year, and qualifying for the Trash Fitz Walker Stand Challenge courtesy of Ralphs, and qualifying for the Go Bucks Challenge courtesy of Steve in New York. So there's that.
I'm getting a feeling. I have a feeling there's somebody out there that's right on the verge of making that next donation. And I know. Yes, I think they have an E in their name.
An E.
If you have an E in your. Yes, I believe it is. I had.
Oh my God! You're not.
It came over me, Bob.
Not only are you a world renowned Texas liberal talk show host, you're also a psychotic or psychic.
Well, I think it was the first one, Bob.
And by the way, I had a note come in from Chris in the Northwest Territories, who got about 2 hours of daylight today, by the way, who says if he's still in office during the 2020 election and America is at war, would that be an advantage to Trump to maybe get him reelected, since my understanding is that the American people tend not to switch parties and stay the course?
We got damn well hope is he's not willing to start one just for that purpose.
Yeah, the ones we're in are enough, and I'm hard pressed to say that he's wrong for the drawdown in Afghanistan. I think that's a different story entirely from what's going on in Syria and Iraq, because for once we got it right, to the extent that war can be right. In Syria and Iraq, because we were actually trained people to fight who actually wanted to fight, namely the Kurds. And you know, we did some command and control and some air support, but all that nasty ass house to house shit was Kurds who were fighting because they had skin in the game. It was their people that were being hauled away and slaughtered by ISIS. So, but the Afghanistan drawdown, how do you, for those of us who have militated against being there in the first place. And, I mean, I've got archives going all the way back to Barack Obama's campaign in 2008 when he says when he said, I think Afghanistan was the right war for the right reasons at the right time, and then said that Iraq was wrong. Well, I don't think Afghanistan was the right war for the right reasons at the right time either, because from jump, it was not a winnable war. And whatever happens, when we finally completely leave, all hell's going to break loose. And it's not going to break loose because of a bunch of foreign countries jumping in to the power vacuum. It's going to, all hell's going to break loose strictly because of internal struggles for power inside the Afghan failed state itself. That's not the same as Syria. What we did in Syria is we walked out on the Kurds. We walked out on the French. We walked out on our own allies. And why would you ever trust us? And, you know, arguably, no one will. Let's see here. What's this? Keith says, please don't run down Scrooge. At least Scrooge didn't go bankrupt five times. No, he was quite good with his money. that's very true, Keith.
Very
Scrooge
point
was a
on.
Real businessman.
Yeah.
Supposed to a reality businessman.
Darlene in Connecticut says, I think Dems were part of the 47 nays, and I saw McConnell put the onus on the Dems to come to an agreement with Trump. Wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. But it sounds to me like it was a mixed bag, though. I think there were probably some Republicans and some Democrats in the nays, although I could be proven wrong. Robert in Australia says, another war? Just remember, Australian troops will be dragged into any new war the U.S. starts. Our pollies are that brave. Sending, you know, somebody else along. Robert also asks, does the U.S. not have a yearly supply budget? That's what we have in Australia. It funds the government for 1 year. If supply gets blocked, as it did twice back in the 1970s, we go straight to a double dissolution and an election. Yeah, we don't have that.
No.
We were supposed to have taken care of this back with the ratification of the 14th Amendment and the notion that nobody could question the public debt. That's supposed to mean that government passes the damn continuing resolution if need be, because anything else is questioning the validity of the public debt, which is unconstitutional.
You know, Bob, in this country, the Congress can get away. Everybody else has to obey the law. But the Congress and the politicians, they don't have to obey the law. They can make any reason whatsoever to do any damn thing, and they get away with it. So, any rate, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy holidays, Larry. And that's a very dangerous way to try to do business. And it has not always been that way, but... As I noted last night, the greatest example in American government of being above the law is the Supreme Court of the United States, which brings me to something else. I am very close, and we all know how I feel about prayer. You know, pray in one hand and shit in the other and see which one fills up first.
I've heard of this challenge.
But I'm very close to praying. Because it was announced today that back when she fell and broke a couple of ribs, they discovered two cancerous lesions on Ruth Bader Ginsburg's lungs.
Yeah. That's a scary thing, isn't it, Bob?
If ever we needed some sort of healing hands of faith, we need it for her right now.
Yes.
And we need her to, and we need for her to have the courage and the guts and the determination and all the medical support in the world to keep breathing out and breathing in again until we can get this domestic enemy of the Constitution of the United States out of office.
Amen, brother.
Yeah,
light the candle.
That's the discussion around my house today. Was her health?
Right on, man.
You know,
right
the thing about
by the way, Bob, I hope that you all had a good time in Georgia there with Mike. I've read over half the book.
And, excellent, Larry.
And some of the stuff in there, he like goes through all the the various stereotypes of the South in the 1950s. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, Bob. But the first half of the book talks about some of his experiences when he was 17 years old. And some of that stuff is really, really scary to me. I mean, it really is. It's absolutely hair-raising. So I don't know if you had a chance to look at it or had a chance to read it. But, you know, I don't know if you have a copy, but anyway, that's Mike's book.
But you're enjoying it, and your general review is positive in nature?
Yeah, he knows how to tell some good... He knows how to he knows how to express himself and tell some good stories. I don't know whether, you know, whether all that stuff that happened to him was actually happened, but from the way he tells it, it's very, very scary. The stuff that he went through when he was 17 years old, going from Toledo down to Tampa, and his
he read parts of that.
Oh, did he already?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, at the shindig.
Yeah. Well, you know, so I'm reading it, and other than that, I'm taking some courses during my break. I've got some intensive courses that I'm taking, and just trying to keep everything together here, every day I just get, I've gotten to the point where I'm either cynical or jaded or satiated, or I don't know what word you want to use, or addled brain or whatever about all this stuff, because it just pickles my brain just feels pickled dealing with all this crap that we're dealing with in this country. I don't know when it's going to turn around or if it's going to turn around. We can only hope.
Well, we need to remind everybody that, and I did on my rant the other day, I reminded people when Nixon resigned after he was impeached in the House, there were still Republicans up until that point that were still trying to hold on to Nixon. The only reason that he resigned was that because the voice of the people had become so loud, because of the tapes that had come out, the Nixon tapes came out, people heard them, they were riled up, they were in the street, Nixon resigned. Same thing's going to happen here. We're going to find out so much shit about this president, but it's going to depend on the people getting outraged at what we find out that is going to finally force the Republican senators in Congress to turn their back on him. He has to be proven to be the scumbag that he is before they'll do that.
John, when are the people that don't have work, that don't have jobs, that don't have health care, that don't have anything in their cupboards, and that are just absolutely up against it in poverty and everything else, when are they going to rise up and say, hey, we need unions, we need jobs, we need investment by the country needs to invest in providing jobs for people like they did in the 1930s.
I can answer that, Larry.
You know,
I can answer, I can too.
Go ahead, Bob.
You take a run at it, John.
Well, I was just going to say we already are. You ask, you know, when are the we're so down. This last election, it was a blue wave. It was what we wanted. We wished for more. We didn't get all of what we wanted, but we got a big part of it. And that was due to what we're doing now, what I do on my show, what Bob does here, and that is to keep people informed, motivated for this whole thing. We can't stop now. And I know, believe me, I wish I could tell you just how much what you said hits home for me. You know, when your back is up against the wall, the only thing you can do is step forward. That's all you can do. And there are people in this country every day that struggle just to put the bread on the table, just to keep the lights on.
Amen.
But we all,
fucking
even
A.
in that desperate times, you still have to keep your eye on where you still have to struggle every day. But if you get the opportunity to make a difference, make it, baby, because this is all we got. It's my voice, Bob's voice, your voice. and we have to keep that going.
To put it,
like I say, they're not going to turn until it is the voice of the people that lets them know that they're not going to get reelected, baby.
Just to put a little nuance on that, John, and I agree with everything you said. All those people you mentioned, Larry, have to learn to vote smart.
Yes.
One, you got to vote. Two, you got to vote smart. And
informed, if you're just informed.
Educate yourself big time.
Educate yourself. Get out there and help to educate others, and vote smart. We have to stop this. We have to, among other things, stop this notion that there's some sort of one size fits all progressive that fits every goddamn jurisdiction in this country.
No, ain't gonna happen.
Never.
I've been reading a lot, and John, you've probably seen them, and it probably makes you kick furniture. I've been reading a lot of, well, Beto O'Rourke is not sufficiently pure.
Oh, well, let's find whoever is so we can nail him to a cross.
He lost. How dare he beat Biden?
I mean, talking about his votes in the Congress and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact of the matter is, he came damn close to being a senator from the state of Texas with a D behind his name. And believe you me, let me send this message out to the precious little unicorn fart powered sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade.
There you go, Bob.
You could not elect Bernie Sanders fucking dog catcher in Texas. All right?
No, that's a
fact.
Bernie's not going to take Texas. Beto could.
On the other hand, Beto damn near did, and I still hope Beto runs against John Cornhole. I'm just married to that. But we've got to understand that different locales have different politics. And so a bleeding heart liberal in Alabama is not the same as a bleeding heart liberal in Massachusetts or Vermont.
Oh, no, different people.
They're worlds apart, man.
If I can piggyback off that, also, I have in-laws that are diehard Trump fans, and they continue to vote against their own interests when they rely on all that assistance, and it kills me.
Those 800,000 Americans that Trump and the Republicans are going to kick off of food stamps are going to feel awful funny when they wind up having to eat their goddamn MAGA hats.
Yep.
And that's the thing. I mean, they're family, so you don't want to start a war with them, but you want to educate them because what they say is complete bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, look at these chumps who have dumped $13.5 million into a fraudulent GoFundMe scheme for the fucking wall.
Exactly. Thank you, Bob. I wanted to comment on that. Look at all the suffering that could ease and stop.
And not just that, that GoFundMe campaign is directly in contravention of GoFundMe's own terms of service.
I believe they're going to have to return all that money, Bob.
They will.
We have a serious problem with veterans being homeless. Think how many homes that could build for homeless veterans.
Yeah. You know? Look at the amount of money he wants to build his stupid monument to himself.
God damn, what
we could do with that. What? There's plenty, but there is plenty in our government right now, in our budget, that we could, I swear, there's a lot of shit we could do if we did it right. But it is aid, you know, I spent 16 years in civil service, in the federal government. And I used to tell my division chief, baby, if you just let me have a wheelbarrow full of money and walk out to the dumpster and throw it away every day, geez, my job would be done. I could just go home early.
You know,
that this government, our government spends on bullshit and dirty deals.
Well, yeah, and what if
in the world we could have?
What if for once, and I mentioned this early in the program during the filibobster, what if for once we decided not to be hopeless fuck-ups in Central America? What if for once we decided to actually do some good with our billions instead of doing a bunch of evil, propping up fucking right-wing fascist dictators and corporations?
Or building walls.
Or building a stupid wall. We could go down
and I mean, we have some expertise. We could go down and help transform Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador. Look at Costa Rica. Costa Rica is a jewel. And part of the reason Costa Rica is the jewel that it is because, A, they disbanded their standing army.
They haven't had one since, what, 1940-something?
And they have an absolutely stable democracy going on there. And they...
Vida pura.
And they are moving toward being they are a stable state. You know, Guatemala's not a mess, and El Salvador's not a mess, and Honduras isn't a mess because they are inherently messy. They are messes because we have made a mess of them. And this is one of the, you know, this is step one to the 12 steps where we admit that we've fucked up. And we could, you know, it doesn't have to, it does not have to be this way. But we've got too many people who are willing to let it be this way. And this is one of those a pox on both their houses kind of things. You know, back when she was Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton did a bang-up job fucking up Honduras. There's no getting around it. It's just a damn fact. And it is what it is. Let me do a couple of things here. I got to send out some thanks. Thank you to Clarence. And thank you to the Warrior Witch. And thank you to Lady B in the chat room. You're going to like this. You're going to like this, John. God damn it, Bob, your regulars must be psychic. I go by the name Lady B on here, but my first name begins with an E. I'm going to give you 10.
I knew it. It was a vision. It was a vision in my head, Bob.
I think you're going to have to add a psychic component to your show, John. Lady B says, I'm going to give you $10 because I clean buildings at night and it's all I got, but I know it helps. So back to the work for me, but keep doing the Lord's work, man. So thank you, Lady B. Thank you so very, very kindly.
Bless your heart, baby.
And that gets us to 3 minutes before nine and having raised all but $20. And I've been having trouble with the stress line all night long. I don't know why, but I'm going to see because for a while there, it was like I could hear Scott, but apparently Scott couldn't hear me and we lost Todd. But I'm going to go back and see if we can get Scott in one last time. Are you there, Scott? Okay, see,
oh, damn.
No, we're connected by the Bluetooth is on, it's running, hang on.
Come on, Scott.
I want to take a second real quick to shout out Warrior Witch because she's my only fan.
Ah, there you go, Warrior Witch. We appreciate that.
So she's part of the Blue Dot family there, John?
Warrior Witch?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. She's welcome, baby. If she thinks like this, she is. Yeah,
awesome.
I consider every progressive liberal is part of the Blue Dot family, whether they're on my side or not. You know, it's not only a group of us in the United. It's worldwide, baby. There are people that believe in the same things we do all over this world. You know, young lady just sent in I know how it feels for Bob to receive that $10 from somebody who has to work for a living. You know,
where every penny comes from, and
that's right.
It ain't nothing but nonstop gratitude over here.
Telling you, Bob, I know exactly how you feel, buddy. I've received, you know, small donations like that, and you know it's coming from somebody that just believes in what you're doing, and you know, because that's hard for working people to give up a buck, you know?
You're damn right it is. You're damn right it is.
And so when they donate it like that, you know, it just, I don't know about you, it humbles me, buddy. It just makes me, you know, more determined.
It almost makes you cry, doesn't it, John?
Yes, it does. But we ain't going there right now.
Okay.
Lion
sack of shit.
And here's the little miracle of the community. John, Darlene... has a little piece of advice for you with your baby mouse problem.
Uh-oh, what's that, baby?
Darlene in Connecticut says, not sure how much of a new baby it is, whether it has fur on it or not yet, but maybe John's son can see if a wildlife rehabilitator at a local Audubon or wildlife sanctuary can take it in and later release it when it's grown. There are people out there who do that kind of thing.
They've got it in a little box. Are you shitting? This whole family is ate up with animals. My son's girlfriend out there. Now, I have, as you know, dogs, cats, donkey, goat. We've got a bird. You know, it's just a regular old Noah's Ark around here. But his girlfriend has two snakes and two frogs and a turtle. And, you know, somebody who owns a snake, you would go, oh, well, look, here's a nice little mouse. No, we ain't going to do that. They've got the little box out there. I don't know what they're going to do. I'll suggest that to them. But, you know, they're going to try to take care of these little things and find them a home or something, because that's just who we are. And I wish, you know, so much, you know, like they always say, in a perfect world, every dog would have a home. It's not a perfect world, but every one of us can try to make our little piece as perfect as we can. Ain't that some, and you know, inspiring shit. That's just inspiring shit.
Bob, I just wanted to say before I go that I missed your answer when you were saying about the people that you're talking about, because I got cut off in the call. So what were you saying about the people that I was mentioning that were suffering so badly, just briefly?
Simply that they have to vote, and they have to vote smart, Larry. And they have to understand, you vote for candidates who you can believe, who you can, you know, put some degree of trust in, and who can adequately and effectively communicate with the people in your given jurisdictions. There is no gold standard of progressivism, because somebody who can get elected in Berkeley is not somebody who can get elected in Bama. And somebody that is arguably progressive in Bama is not going to be nearly progressive enough to suit people in Berkeley or Portland or where have you. So we got to vote, and we got to vote smart. That's all I said. But that having been said, we got to get out of here.
Oh, shit.
Don't it just fly by? Doesn't it just fly by?
I'm telling you, Bob, you need more time on this, buddy. We're just getting cranked up.
Oh, I know. If we have, and the boss says we're gonna, a Christmas night on the front porch, who knows how long we might go. Because we're not going to be stepping on anybody's toes on Christmas.
Well, I might just wander by and see what you got for Christmas, Bob.
Well, get the firewood ready, Bob. We'll
tires.
Just sit around
the odds are the answer to that question is going to be tires.
You're really hoping for them tires, aren't you, Bob?
Real bad, like, because 3 days without being able to hardly move is driving me nuts.
Oh, man.
Every time he mentions tires, I think of that commercial that the guy talks all redneck saying, "You look sweeter than a new set of snow tires."
Set of snow tires, baby. Ain't that something?
Bob, if you want, I could buy a leg lamp for you and send that to you for Christmas. Christmas story?
Fragile. Oh, yeah. Must be Italian.
That's right.
It's a major award.
It's amazing. Look at that thing.
And Dennis is quietly going about the business of building up his own private fan base over here based on what I'm seeing in the chat room.
Dennis, boy, look at that.
I resemble that remark.
Yes, you do, buddy. Yes, you do.
So,
kidding. I'm happy to be here with you guys.
Should be live all next week, and I'll be looking forward to talking with all of y'all. And I want to thank everybody for jumping in, and thank you very kindly to each and every one of you, so that we can finish the week, finish the month, and finish the year. Made it through another one. And have fundraising free radio all next week. And on top of it all, qualify for the Trash Fitzwalker Stand Challenge, which we're $20 away from doing. And qualify for the Go Bucks Challenge, which we're $20 away from doing. And hopefully that'll happen before we get back here for Christmas Eve. Uh,
And my sincerest, fondest wishes for a lovely weekend for everybody. The days really do begin to get longer, and even though they'll be cold for a while, it's going to warm up. Spring is now officially on the way. And thank you for being part of this little independent, liberal, progressive broadcast effort. Thank you so very, very much. Thanks for sharing your precious finite time and engaged in this program. Thanks for keeping it on the air. Thanks for keeping the community together that you built, not me. And thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky over in the at the head of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.